All right, we are live. The floor is yours.
Hi, good evening. This is the City of Morro Bay Harbor Advisory Board. This is a meeting for Thursday, February 3rd, 2022. We are joining you via teleconference. And Lori, could you establish a quorum or do a roll call?
Member Dowdy.
Here.
Member Green.
Here.
Member Myers.
Here.
Member O'Brien.
Here.
Member Vale.
Here.
Member Witkowski. And you have a quorum.
I'm here too.
Oh, Member Hansen.
All right. Thank you, Lori. And so we've established a quorum, and now we will go to the next thing, which is our moment of silence. And I would like to dedicate this moment of silence to Grace Paletti. Grace was in her 90s and a Morro Bay longtime resident and a great champion of our public safety team, the police, fire, and the harbor. She will be dearly missed. There in her services will be tomorrow at St. Timothy's at 10 a.m. So at that moment, a moment of silence. All right, thank you. And we are going to go to Jeremiah to give us our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge of allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay.
Thank you, Jeremiah. Okay, we have our advisory board and liaison announcements right now, and we would like to say hello again to Gene Dowdy. He is reappointed to our board, and we have a new, which is Sean Green. And maybe I'll start with you, Sean, if you can introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about why the Harbor Advisory Board and any announcements that you might have.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys welcoming me in here. I've been in Morro Bay now for about 6 years. I participate with a lot of city stuff and kind of pay attention to all the different committees and conferences. I participate with the Planning Commission a lot, but I just see the harbor as such a good opportunity to participate, and so that's kind of why I put my name in the draw for that as a just a citizen at large. I look forward to seeing what we get up to. I've certainly followed along with your meetings, whether it's on YouTube, watching videos of past meetings. Like I'm one of those like four views on YouTube that watches Harbor meetings after the fact. So I kind of know some of what you're up to, but a lot of it's going to be new to me as well. So I appreciate it.
Okay, well, thank you. Yeah, we've had your correspondence in the past, and we've reacted with actually doing some of the suggestions that you had, and so I've always really appreciated your comments. I really like it when somebody might identify a problem, but gives a little bit of the solutions out there that we could research, too. So I think that that's a great go get it done attitude, and I'm really appreciative that you're on the board and taking your time to be with us.
Thanks, Therese. I appreciate it.
Okay, so Gene, give us a little update. It's been 2 months.
Okay, well, this one's not a little one, but first off, I'd like to thank the City Council for reinstating me on the board. To me, the next few years will present a lot of challenges, but also we've got a great opportunity for our waterfront. And then, as I watched several advisory board interviews, I was intrigued by not only how many newcomers we had to the city, but also how much knowledge they were going to bring. I would like to remind the City Council to remember when being advised by these advisors that Morro Bay is a unique, small coastal town. It's not Newport, it's not Carmel. We have our own history and culture, and we should embrace it. I was also thinking of all the employees who work for Morro Bay, and they provide services for us. Nobody moves or works nobody moves here or works for the city to become rich. We're here because we love this area and we want to help out. I don't work with all the city departments, but I do work with the planning department, and those people are all professional, and they do what they can to help you. And for the last 40 years, I've had the pleasure to work with the harbor department. The staff goes beyond what is just needed. I see them coming to work early and staying late. The harbor patrol personnel are known throughout the world as some of the best. The administration of the waterfront leases requires an experienced and knowledgeable harbor master, and ours is doing a superb job. It looks to me that an additional administration assistant is needed to handle that ever-increasing paperwork. Okay, for my State of the Bay part, during the winter months, you know, we don't have a whole lot of life in the bay. There's not a lot of fish. All the bait seems to be gone. But as well as that, all the pelicans seem to be pretty much gone at this point. But what we do have is an abundance of pigeons. And I think that they're almost a health hazard, something I think probably needs to be done with them. They sure crap a lot of different places. And then last month, we had our tidal wave that came through. Now, we were fortunate we didn't have a whole lot of problems, but there were other coastal harbors that had an awful lot of problems. We're lucky that Estero Bay within Morro Bay within Estero Bay, doesn't really focus the tidal surge into our harbor because we have such a narrow opening, maybe 60 yards wide there. But I do think that we need to be in the future, think about additional tidal waves and how we can protect ourselves for them. And then my final note would be about the public restrooms that all the different leaseholders have to build on their new developments. I can't tell you how sad I am to look at some of the new bathrooms that are put installed, and there are crap on the walls, there's feces smeared on the windows, it's terrible to see what the public should do or doing to our clean new restrooms. I think somehow the city council should reimburse or compensate some of our leaseholders for that hard work. And for the final thing, we have our Big Bad and Ugly Surf Contest coming up February 19th. So it should be a lot of fun. That's all I got.
That's me. All right. Thank you so much. Now let's go to Member Myers.
Sure. Well, part of the one is parking, but that's a little bit later in the agenda. One of the sort of outreach pieces or assignments I had from December was an update on the battery factory or battery plant. I reached out to Scott Graham and spoke to Cindy over in City Hall, the planning. We tried to get Dawn to actually do a presentation because she's on the committee with the mayor negotiating with Distra. She wasn't available, so maybe next month. But Scott gave me an update, an oral update. It's pretty interesting. They're in the middle of the EIR, the Environmental Impact Review, getting the final throes through that. They're actually just starting some of the compensation. I'm going to show a picture real quick. Let's see, share my screen. Screen two. This is a, oh, share. Hopefully you can see the screen. This is a artist rendition of the plant, when it goes into service. What I found interesting is because these three buildings will be over height, I think it's 20 or 30 feet, it'll be slightly over. To get the variance, that gives the city leverage to do, to get concessions out of Vistra. And so several different, pieces of property that are sort of in play for that. The intake building itself, which is the waterfront, which is very interesting. The oyster factory, the Coast Guard area is in there. There's been no real decisions on that. There's another area, which is in this picture way over here on the end, and we all kind of know where it is. the other piece, that there's a little part of the GAFCO parking lot that apparently is owned by Vistra. I don't think that's really going to make a big difference because it's already parking. But the one part that Vistra's going to do is they're going to build these battery buildings first before they start any demo of the actual stacks themselves, which makes sense for financial. They're going to, you know, make this, turn this into a productive service before they start tearing that down. So that means that those stacks will be there for quite some time before they start any demo. But the other thing I mentioned to Scott, and Scott said was sort of up in the air, is once these buildings are gone, all this frontage road along the Embarcadero is not really earmarked for anything. And so I don't know if that's a opportunity for the harbor or just for the city in general. I think there was one other little piece. I think, I don't know if it's on here, but part of the Kistler Park where the motel and the baseball field is also part of that property that, you know, could be potential to give back to the community for any of those building variances.
Okay. So, Cal, were there any announcements? Because this is going to be an item that we're going to cover and, like, the or whatnot. But
I apologize. No,
it's okay. You just went right into it. We're, like, getting...
Yeah, I was all excited about it. It was kind of... I thought it was really cool. So, from an announcement perspective, that was pretty much the bulk of it. I just did an agenda item, so sorry about that.
All good. Was there any, like, announcements or things that you wanted to mention about... events or
not at this time? Sorry.
No, I didn't mean to. See, that's my job. Maybe you want it. You could have it.
Yeah. Keep everybody in line.
Right. There you go. Okay. So next up, we have Jeremiah, Member O'Brien.
Oh shit. There we go. Thanks, Cherise. Yeah. Good evening, everyone. Yeah, I did get, so since the last meeting here, I did get to take a science class at Morro Bay High School on the waterfront here. The teacher was a lady named Leah, and this is the second year we've taken her students, seniors, in down and explain the waterfront to them. And we do this quite a bit. And it dawned on me that I should have probably, if there is any teachers or anybody else in any field that they feel it would be helpful to educate anybody about the waterfront, we're always willing to supply somebody. I do it often myself, but if I'm not around and somebody else will do it, I'm sure, to take anybody around the waterfront to explain what each boat does, how they fish, what they produce. And I'll leave my phone number at the end of this if anybody wants to get in touch with us. So anyways, it was very, very cool. We checked out all the waterfronts, the oyster plants, various fishing boats, what they did and how they accessed the fish that they particularly fished for. And then I also had a call, thanks to Dana Swanson. She had an inquiry from a girl up in Santa Clara County. She was a senior and doing something on the wind project and the effects on the fishing industry. So Dana directed her here, and we were able to work with her and had communication for a few days in helping her with the project. I hope we were of some assistance. But again, we're always, any questions or anything we can do in educating the public on waterfront or waterfront issues or fisheries, anything we can impart to help people learn a little more about the waterfront. Let's see, so that's... And I did want to extend a thank you to, and this is something we've been working on, but extend a thank you to the mayor and the city council for their letters to the Natural Marine Sanctuary people and Eric also. for his letter from the Harvard Department. They're very, very good letters, very concise, and we certainly appreciate it. Another thing I'd like to mention is we know that the waterfront, our harbor, is having problems financially now, and it's not a big thing. Every harbor in the country probably is experiencing financial difficulties as well as most of our cities. Well, there is something on the ballot coming out, and I won't use this platform to ask anybody to vote one way or another. I don't think that would be ethical, but I will say that there is a lot or parcel tax issue coming out. The money would be not much in today's world, and this parcel tax would support the Harbor Department. You can sign that at Jerry's Marine on Market Street in Morro Bay here, and he has, right now, he has the list to sign on. They need 800 names to put this on the ballot, and I believe they have approximately 350 currently. So I hope people will make a decision one way or another, and good luck with that. We certainly hope that our waterfront, the jewel of our area, the whole coast as far as I'm concerned, receives this additional funding. Thank you very much.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, Jeremiah. Okay, next up is Member Vail. Oh, and then can I mention to everybody, it's been brought to my attention that a good amount are not muting them when they're not speaking, and it's just doing a little feedback for AGP. So just try and turn off your mics when you're not on the floor.
Am I up?
Yep.
Okay, first of all, kudos to Gene. That was a very good beginning. Kudos to all of you guys. These points are well taken. I don't really have anything to say except I think we're getting better. And so let's continue on. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Member Vail. Did Mary Witkowski show up and become a panelist, or are we absent Mary still?
I don't believe Mary has joined the meeting.
Okay. All right, then I guess that's me. A lot of the same things Jeremiah said I was going to mention, too. Just trying to get more signatures. He's reached out to me about pursuing that. I've been gone, so I'm going to probably be walking the Embarcadero next week and trying to help out with the signatures on that. As far as other goings on, I have a little bit to say in our other portion. But, you know, on as far as the Harbor Advisory Board is considered, I think we should just make a little thing to say about I wrote it down here that our hearts go out, my heart, the communities. I've talked to a lot of people about the family of Thomas Butterfield, his passing, the young man who lost his life due to the shark attack. So peace be with them. And then also I just want to say thank you to Rebecca Frimmer. She was the surfer that helped bring him back to the shore. And that is just amazingly brave. And I'm so thankful that we have somebody like that in the community. As far as other things, that concludes what all of us wanted to say. We don't have any presentations today. So with that, I believe we can move to public comment. Correct, Lori?
Correct.
Okay, so I'll just say this a little bit. This meeting will be conducted telephonically through Zoom and broadcast live on cable channel 20 and streamed on the city website. And Highland, do we have anybody in the queue to make a public comment at this time?
Thank you, Chair. There are currently no raised hands in the queue.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. So that takes us to consent calendar. Would anyone on the board like to pull any of the items on consent calendar? On consent. Look up and down. I don't see any hands raised. And so would anyone like to make a motion to approve consent calendar as is?
You can make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll second that, because I think I could do that. Okay. Lori, you want to do a roll call for approving that motion?
Sure, I can do that. Member Bale?
Yes.
Member O'Brien?
Yes.
Member Myers?
Yes.
Member Green?
I think I'll abstain because I wasn't here at those meetings, so I'm not exactly sure what was said.
Member Dowdy?
Yes.
Member Hansen?
Yes.
Okay, your motion passes.
Okay, thank you very much. Business items. We have business item B1, which is update from the parking management, paid parking ad hoc committee, and the chair of that committee is Member Myers. Would you like to lead us in that?
Sure. Chris and I, actually I sent a copy to Eric and Charisse. We did sort of a two-pager sort of frequently asked questions about parking. Went around in the Embarcadero, talked to probably about 15, 18 different businesses, mostly restaurant and a few retail, actually a hotel, just to, you know, talk about the pilot. We were, you know, trying to be position neutral on it, just to, address people. It was interesting, a lot of the feedback that we got from, you know, the owners of the business or employees was fairly consistent with the ad hoc committee that we had, concerns about, you know, employee parking and guests and, you know, we're not Pismo, all that general feedback. But it was a good education for that. A lot of people had a previous presentation from Scott Graham through the city, Commerce Committee, I guess it is. I'm not sure the exact name of that. I think it was all well received. Everybody understood that it was probably coming, but we're, you know, obviously disappointed. I guess it's not a lot of the same sentiment. It sort of starts to lose the character of the city. There was one notable exception. Chris, was that the Anderson Inn?
Yeah, it was the Anderson Inn. And as a matter of fact, from my standpoint, master leaseholders seem to be more in favor than the actual people running the stores, than the employees, etc. But yeah, there were a couple of master leaseholders that would be very much in favor of it. And, but I couldn't find any fishermen or recreational boaters that were remotely interested in it. So back to you.
Yeah. So went around that. It was a pretty good session again. And our job or our goals wasn't, it was just to provide information, almost that ambassador role. So I think it was good. I would like to try to maybe do it again, hit some of the other areas that we missed. Maybe go back and look at the frequently asked questions to make sure that we're not misstating anything in there. But I think it was, like I said, it was overall a pretty good, you know, Chris and I enjoyed it. It was, you know, we got to talk to a few of the people and the longtime master leaseholders, so that was positive. I think it was, you know, it's a lot of goodwill, I think. The other thing is I did talk to Scott Graham, the same call I referred to earlier, the Walker study. They're doing a follow-up to see what a pilot program would look like. They're not fully committed to the parking yet, but they are, you know, moving forward with some sort of pilot program. Not sure if they'll use what we recommended, where it's just along the Embarcadero, but that report is due out sort of any time now. So we're, hopefully that'll be shared from the city council to the HAB and to, you know, to the rest of the community. That's all we have for parking right now. Chris, is there anything else?
I don't think so. It, you did say something that I haven't felt, so just as a co-conspirator of yours, I'm not sure that the feeling on the waterfront is that it is inevitable in any way, and I'm not sure that the feeling amongst the residents of Morro Bay, Los Osos, Baywood Park, and Cayucas, people who actually live here, that it's inevitable. However, I do know from work at the museum, the tourists expect it. That's it.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for that update, and I'm really glad to hear that you guys were able to make it out there and get some feedback. I have one thing that I want to add, and then I have a question for you. But I did get some understanding from staff and or the chamber. I can't remember who it was. Eric, tell me if it was you that I heard this from, but that the Walker study people received our input from HAB, as well as they received the input from the Chamber of Commerce, which they're pretty similar, have similar things, but ours had a little bit more detail as far as, like, solutions for these things, and he was extremely receptive to it, and they were actually using it as a tool for what it is that they're eventually going to submit to the city. Eric, was that you that I heard that from?
Yeah, I think that, Scott Collins, city manager, conveyed that in our last meeting too. That, you know, even though we kind of got a little bit ahead of the work plan in terms of the committee, that all that information and stuff that you gathered was turned over to the Walker folks, and they were impressed with it and were quite pleased because it helped some of the stuff they were looking for anyhow. So it definitely helped them. So good process there.
Cool.
I actually have a question. Do you guys anticipate whatever the plan that they actually come up with, is that something that will come to HAB for a possible recommendation before it gets to the council level one more time?
I suspect it would, Sean. I think the committee, which, you know, isn't just a committee of the HAB, it's some citizens as well. Hopefully the committee can coalesce around some recommendations and forward that to the HAB itself, and then you guys can look at that and decide on that to forward to the council.
Cool.
So one point is the HAB isn't the only advisory board that's looking at parking. I think if I'm not mistaken, the Planning Commission and the Public Works has also provided some input, I believe.
Right, as well as the Embarcadero leaseholders. So there's a couple people that have put in different organizations. So that leads actually to my next question. You guys said that the majority of master leaseholders that you spoke to on the Embarcadero were for parking that you noticed. And then you said that, you know, like employees and whatnot. So which one was the business owner? Because there's subleases, and then there's master leaseholders. So I'm just wondering, were you talking to subleasees, or were these actually the ones that were the leaseholders of the entire building or the mixed use building?
Chris, I didn't believe.
I'm ready. When we talked to the Andersons, I include you in the input. And so what I would say is, you know, we have talked to master leaseholders who are also, you know, in a sense, vendors. And that's where we found, you know, we need to do something about this parking. We could make money from this parking. We want we want to increase the rotation through the parking places. It's kind of the same conversation. But when you drop down a notch, in my mind, to people who simply lease a shop, they're not the master holders. They're a little bit more concerned with themselves, their employees, how, you know, what it's going to do. And so the positivity seems to be at the top. And then the further down the system you go, the gal making minimum wage is the least in favor, because she's fighting and doesn't want to be forced to do it. She or he is fighting and doesn't want to be forced to do it. Situation where they have to be working for $14 an hour, whatever it is, and paying parking fees. So that's where you get into that. And how all of this if it is implemented, and where it's implemented, will make a difference. Because if they can go across the street and not pay for parking, it might make a difference. But that's unruled, undecided at this point. So anyway, top of the line, master leaseholders, positive. All the way down to the bottom, negative. And I would add, my friends who lived here forever don't want to pay parking fees.
Yeah, and we got a little bit of differences of opinion between the restaurants and like the retail stores and the hotels. So there's a little bit of difference of opinion on that one. Some of the restaurant people were kind of really adverse to it. But again, we're talking to like the shift manager at the GAFCO or Hofbrau.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So they all kind of had, there was a consistencies and opinions across the position of the individual, whether they were at a retail store and just a line manager or like yourself, a leaseholder. So it was interesting. Again, our goal wasn't so much to collect their opinions, but just to let them know that it might be coming and give them a vehicle. We put the HAB email address and encourage them to show up to meetings and, contact the city council.
Well, that's good. Yeah, when you said that on your feedback that you got, a lot of the business owners and employees were against it, it's a little surprising. I did an interview for KSBY for the parking management, and and I was, said that it would be beneficial to my business, whereas, my friend next door was like, I don't want that. It's not going to be beneficial to me. So it's good to get that, both sides of things. So, good to know. Glad you guys did that. Any other questions?
I have one last comment. Has anybody noticed Cal's mustache? That thing rocks.
I know. It's better in person, I'm telling you.
It's not
wait until we're at the vet hall again.
All right. Yeah, I like the tone, the dual tones in it.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. All right, you guys. So there's nothing to vote on. Lori, I can just go to the B2 and we can do something.
Let's check for public comment.
Oh, there it is. That's that thing I'm supposed to do. All right, Hyland, do we have anybody in the queue that would like to make a public comment?
Thank you, Chair. We have no raised hands in the queue.
All right. Thank you so very much. Okay, moving on to item B2, update from the Marine Services Ad Hoc Committee and on committee's recent activities. And that would be Member Vail.
Yep. I'll back off on this boatyard thing. There are other people in town that would be known to you guys who are also kind of working on it. Let's let former member Reisner and former member McLeish, they're out there wagging their tails a little bit. Let's let them go with it. The only thing I would say about the boatyard concept is that Morro Bay is regarded and is written in cruising guides as a safe harbor. It's a place you go when you need to go someplace to get off that nasty Pacific Ocean. Anybody who's spent any time on the waterfront has seen those boats come in with their tails between their legs. Without a boatyard, which I won't pursue anymore for a while, without a boatyard, we have no place to safe harbor fix people who are in transit. That's too bad. And I will forever believe a real safe harbor has a repair facility. So I'll drop the boatyard part of it for a while, but also from the standpoint of Marine Services, unless I'm mistaken about what Marine Services are, and I shouldn't be, because I've been at it most of my life, Marine Services are going to end up living on side streets in Quintana Road and North Main Street anyway. You're not going to have a hat or a store down on the Embarcadero or across the street from the Embarcadero next to Sun and Buns selling captain's hats or, marine hardware. It's just not going to happen. So I'm not sure where this committee goes as to pursuing that, because I think the services are uptown. And this is, the harbor board. What happens uptown. I'm not sure I have anything to do with that. But we'll talk about it further. And that's it.
Okie dokie. Eric, would you like to talk about the public marine service related things like the ice machine or the ramps? I mean, the all-encompassing things that might not be hardware store up the way, but things that this particular ad hoc committee should be concerned about.
Sure, and Chris, for your sake, I think we kind of went this direction, or at least identified these things maybe before you were on the HAB. Maybe not, but anyhow, I think the intent was not just traditional marine services like a boatyard and a chandlery, but like Sheree says, the ice house, repair people, the hoist, the launch ramp, and I think even slips, for the commercial industry, particularly for the commercial fishing industry, slips and piers and those sorts of things. Those were all sort of identified as marine services writ large, and it wasn't narrowed down to just sort of boatyards and service and repair stuff. It's kind of everything that vessels would need, with the boatyard just being one element of it.
So those are all still things that, as far as this ad hoc committee is concerned and continues, if there are current events, something that we'd want to keep this on every meeting, we can evaluate that. I think we might talk about it later in our goals and our in a later item. So with that, I think we have completed it, unless anybody has any questions. I'm seeing no hands raised, so I'll open it for public comment. Hyland, do we have anybody in the queue for public comment at this time?
Thank you, Chair. We have no raised hands in the queue.
All right, perfect. Okay, moving onward to item agenda number B3, which is update from the Finance and Budget Ad Hoc Committee. And I believe our chair on that is Member Mitt Witkowski, and our vice is Cal.
Yeah, unfortunately, we haven't really, at least I haven't done, we had a big push late last year with some grant money. I think that went through, Eric. I don't recall. It sort of happened right as we were coming up to our last December meeting.
Yeah, that was that revetment repair grant that Mary had identified. We pushed that pretty far along, but as we got into it and I think did the first submission to whatever the granting agency was, it became apparent that there was a pretty significant funding match to that. And so it pretty much killed us for this grant cycle. Okay. Because we don't have anything in the budget for it. So I forget whether it was a 10%, 25%, but it was significant enough to where it wasn't chump change that we could just scratch up and make it happen. And I think it had to be actual hard costs and not just administrative and staff costs like we are a lot of times able to use for a lot of these grants, for just our administrative time.
Okay. So I think with that, and probably now that the fiscal year is we started, we probably would want to go back and revisit. A lot of those were cyclical. So, but yeah, we pushed real hard in December, and then kind of the wind, the literal wind came out of our sails. So we haven't really done much since December.
So I have a question about that. So you're saying that there, that a certain amount of hard costs of the construction needed to go in. And so this grant that you guys were going, it's every year that they do a new one, right? It's not like this time, one and done.
Yeah, there was three different funding vehicles that we were looking at the time. And to be honest with you, they're kind of all sort of blending together from December. One was a one and done. The one, I think, was to get reappointed every year. And the other one, you know, was part of like the, all the COVID, you know, repair, build back better type of thing. I've lost focus on, I don't remember which one we were going after. There was a couple, we were trying to do three at one time, and then we decided just to focus on our best bet, and we lost on that one.
Yeah, I think you're correct. There was a lot of them are, I think the revetment one was a recycling one every year, and the cycle comes up. Mm-hmm. One, I think, was some parks funding, maybe for Coleman Park, you know, and that effort, which we lent the public community development folks or public works folks a little bit of assistance on that to the degree that they needed it and we could provide it. And I think you're right. The other one was just ARPA.
The other one, I think we were focusing like on the seawalls down at the Inn in Morro Bay and maybe even looking at a larger, you know, a whole harbor kind of thing. And that was just way too much, again, for the city planning to take over because there's a considerable amount of work that they had to do.
Okay, so, but for the revetment wall, Eric, you're saying that it was a, it'll happen next year. Is there any chance that maybe we can ask for some assistance from the Friends of the Harbor? Or did it just insurmountable, not even this year, let alone next year?
I don't think it's insurmountable. We'll have to figure out a funding match and then see if that was a priority. I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, Cal, I think we were looking at the Rock revetment. Because that grant was pretty specific to revetments. The Rock revetment, even though you look at it right now and you go, well, looks like fine to me. It looks like a pile of rocks. When the sand periodically goes away in the winter, which it does, it hasn't this winter yet, that whole revetment's pretty well undermined. So that's what we were focusing on. So it would have to go into the, you know, and I think the number we had was $3 million on that.
Yeah, so that's at least, 300 grand that we'd have to cough up.
Yeah, so it depends on what the funding match would be.
Yeah, so we'll go, once Mary gets back in town, we'll go kick that again. I think before we had a very short runway when we found out about it, man, we've got a little more time. Go ahead, Sean.
I'll just throw this out there, but if you guys ever identify a target grants that that need grant writing, I'm happy to put together 10, 20, 30 pages or whatever it might take if we identify grant funding sources that are, that are achievable, that are attainable based on, this goes to Eric too and their staff. I'm happy to help out with something like that.
There you are.
I didn't mention, I teach English at Cal Poly. And so anyway, I'm happy to do something like that. If we identify, one, two, three of those a year, I'm happy to do that.
Perfect. I think we found what group you might be fitting into when we vote on later on. So good to know. Okay, any other questions for parking ad hoc committee?
That's finance committee.
I'm just still on parking. So important.
Okay. I mean, I will add we're in the middle of doing another big update on our spreadsheets that I need to get back with Cal and Mary on those. We've added in the revetments and the seawalls, which weren't in there before, and so we're continually refining and upgrading those and to make them a good working tool for a number of reasons.
It'd be nice now that I'm more familiar with it and the grant piece, and if we had now we may have a grant writer. I think we may have all of our cylinders firing.
All right, and so I did reach out to Public Works, and I did not get an email back. as far as like offering our services, if they could just identify what it is that they would want us or feel like we could actually put in for making sure that they go for this grant, because I know that they're really busy. So I'll reach out to them again. So, all right. No other questions on budget ad hoc group? So I'm going to open it up for public comment now. Highland, do we have anybody in the queue?
Thank you, Chair. We have no raised hands in the queue.
All right. Good. I guess good. Okay, moving on to agenda item B4. We have Harbor Advisory Board member public engagement outreach assignment and reporting. So right now, I'm just going to go through the members that were with us last time. I will remind everybody that former member Meissen had come a couple different groups in environmental organizations. So of those, she was contacting Pacific Wildlife Care, Marine Mammal Center, EcoSlow, Coastwalk, those kind of places. But any environmental organizations in or around Morro Bay, and then also Morro Bay National Estuary Program. I know that there's quite a few more things that are out there that we could reach out to. So if anybody, when it comes to you, if you've either joined another one or are interested in you know, reaching out to another group, please let us know and we'll add that to your list. And then lastly, member Green, we'll ask you what kind of groups you would want to be in. And seeing as you're a Cal Poly professor, I think I know one little niche that you could fill. So I'm going to start from to member Dowdy. You have a recreational fishing mariculture business.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Sport fishing, as you all know, rock cod season is closed right now. Some of the commercial sport fishing boats are doing bay cruises and some burial at seas. And that's just about it for the sport fishing scene. Under the mariculture area there, I talked to George for Grassy Bar, and he has an expose from a food company, food magazine, that's doing a story on him. And then they're concerned about the pollution in the bay. Mostly they're concerned right at this point about gray water and being discharged in the bay. And then because the eelgrass is growing so well in the back bay now,
I don't know if it's papers or whatnot, but I'm getting a lot of muffling, and I think it just covered your microphone too.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me better now?
All better.
Okay. So, you want me to repeat that? There's so much eelgrass in the back bay that the oyster companies are having a hard time expanding their oyster beds.
Perfect.
Okay. That's all I got.
All right. Thank you, Jean. Appreciate that. And moving on to member O'Brien, Commercial Fishing Motory, Morro Bay Rotary and Lions Club, Friends of Morro Bay Harbor, which I know you touched on that one, and City of Morro Bay Rec Department.
Yeah, thanks, Ruiz. I kind of gave most of my outreach earlier in what I had said about the high school and stuff, but also I did attend a meeting at the Maritime Museum here this last week, and I'd encourage all of the people here in Morro Bay. As a matter of fact, this is interesting. I'm glad I've got this minute, but the class that we took from Morro Bay High School, I asked for hands raised. These were seniors at the high school. Very, very nice group of men and women. And asked them how many had been to visit the Maritime Museum that's only 500 yards or quarter mile or whatever from the school there. And there was not one single hand. Not a single one. So, you know, naturally I encourage them, but I'd encourage anybody listening to the Harbor Advisory Board here to please take advantage of this wonderful opportunity. It's all free to go down and visit the museum and see what we've got here. And it also amazed me that not a single person in the class realized that we had been actually had a vessel sunk right off our coast here by the Japanese in World War II. And they were surprised to hear that. So there's a lot of education down there, and it's right here. We always seem to, we'll travel a couple thousand miles to go see Old Faithful or the Grand Canyon, but we don't go to things that are at our doorstep. We're all guilty probably of that. But in any case, that's... And also, I did participate in the government accountability committee that the Chamber of Commerce puts on here, and it's really fantastic the work they do. It's a group of people from all around the community put on by the Chamber of Commerce, and it's amazing how much work and the how complicated some of the issues they deal with are here in the city. So anyways, I think that's it, Cherise.
All right. Thank you very much. If we can add the GAC onto his list, and I know that when you go to those, it's not an open meeting when you have the government affairs, the GAC meeting, is it?
No, the meeting is not open, Cherise.
Okay, so just to know that, you know, any updates or any kind of things that you have, you would just kind of update the HAB as far as things that have been published.
Well, that's right. And if anybody, I think if anybody had an important issue they'd like to see them address, they could probably get in touch with the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay, and I do know that Erica has it set up that we are eventually all going to meet. She's going to have a little round table of Harbor Advisory Board, Council, and just trying to get Government Affairs Committee together. So I know that we have that set up. And TBID, I believe he's going to be involved in it too. So I think we'll all be good to work cohesively instead of all doing the same thing apart. It would be nice to have one group together. I said that all well and good. Okay. Thank you. And now to Member Vail.
Interesting. My stuff is ongoing. I'll be talking to Quota International, or whatever they're called these days. I think it's just Quota now, which is a anyway, it's an organization here in Morro Bay. It's been here forever. Later this month on a scheduled talk. But here's what comes to mind from my reach out. Thank you, Jeremiah. I do docent work at the museum, the Morro Bay Maritime Museum. And that has become a twofer because you do not talk about old boats at the museum, or the history of the tanker being sunk off Morro Bay, without talking about Morro Bay. And so it occurs to me on this issue of, yeah, I should contact Loans and I should contact the high school, because it's an orientation toward the harbor in general. Not only did these boats once float here, but also, and this is what was happening at that time, plus the displays on World War II. But also, that opens up what we're trying to do as a harbor board and what the future of the harbor is. So I think getting into certainly the high school, if not the junior high school, might be interesting, get some kids over. Because it is true. I mean, some of us always want to go to Yellowstone, but we never manage to go see the Sequoia that are much closer. So, yeah, it, that's on my updated stuff of people I'm trying to talk to. And see, on this business of, and I'm not blowing a horn in the Maritime Museum, but any one of you who wants to come down and push me around and tell me what I'm doing right or wrong, to find out what's going on. I am at the Morro Bay Maritime Museum every Friday from 10 noon. You know, stop by. Share your ideas. Take a look around. It's just the more you communicate. These meetings are great. Personal meetings are better. One-on-one is fantastic. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Member Vail. I have a question. Does the trolley stop at the Maritime Museum?
I haven't seen the trolley.
Well, it's seasonal. I'm pretty sure that it ran during the summer, but I could be wrong. No? Not at all?
Not if you're talking about coming down into towards the museum. You know, past the bakery and all of that, I have not seen it.
I would say that, you know, that the school should definitely know that they can access you guys, as well as, you know, a trolley stop right there seems like a
nice. If they drive right by and head down to the rock, that might be one thing. But do they come down, and have I ever seen anybody get on or off in our neighborhood down there? And the answer is no.
All right.
I think there is a trolley stop. You get down to the bottom of the beach and you turn right going north. And as you're passing the parking lot, you've just passed the bakery. There's a, where the as high as I can guy always parks his van. I think there's a couple of benches right there. Bus benches. I think there's a trolley stop there. I think.
Okay, so next one, I guess we would, I guess it's me. So I'm going to say that I just added TBID. They asked me to be on the strategic plan, so I'm going to be talking to them and getting more, you know, interest in them. I did talk to quite a few leaseholders and even fishermen in regards to Measure D, because that's going to be something that we talk about a little later. And I feel like from who I talked to about Measure D, it was a consensus that it really didn't do what it was set out to do. And they all have differing opinions, but as far as goals, if we are ever able to continue with it as a future agenda item, I feel that all the community members have a good voice, and it should be heard, and we should try and update or realize a way to make it beneficial for fishermen. And so I'm hoping to talk to Jeremiah about that soon. So, next would be Member Green. You have, this being your first meeting, you do not have any outreach groups, but would you like to go in and say who it is that you would like to either take on from Member Meissen's group and or more that you feel that you have either a recent affiliation with, or you want to reach out with harbor-related questions?
I guess the first thing I would say is if you have target lists that you want somebody to pick up, maybe I could take a look at that and hand pick a couple, or if you guys want to assign some to me, I'm totally open to that as well. One thing, I am on the Planning Commission Subcommittee for Public Benefits. It's certain projects require significant public benefits, you know, in the case of variances, which you guys brought up before with the potential battery plant. And our subcommittee is issuing a report to the Planning Commission early next week, so it'll probably be on, I think, the February 15th Planning Commission agenda, where the Planning Commission will look at a pretty extensive list of suggested public benefits, not just for Vistra, but for general projects that are asking for minor or major variances of some kind. The point of that is basically Developers historically have been kind of on their own to figure out what we want and what might benefit them. So by creating this sort of public benefits menu from which they can pull or use as a brainstorming device, then they can come to the table with things that actually help the city, as opposed to kind of an afterthought, just to check a box. And so if anyone on this board has, in particular, Vistra specific public benefits, like in or around their adjacent properties, for example, if you felt that Vistra paying for a 10-foot wide pedestrian pathway from the Maritime Museum to the Vistra entrance, that would be the kind of thing that might appear on a list of, like a menu from which Vistra could then pull and say, oh, that's the thing that we've identified as something that's important and valuable to the city, and then that might be on their list of proposed significant public benefits, you know, in exchange for a minor or major height variance, for example. So if you guys have any like line item suggestions that are, you know, roughly around the perimeter of Vistra or within the you know, west of Vistra Harbor area, for sure send them to me by email. That'd be awesome. I'm S Green. My last name's Green, S Green at Morro Bay CA. So that's one thing that I've been working on. And then as far as things that you would like me to work on, I'm happy to pick up any suggestions that you guys have. I do work at Cal Poly, and I don't necessarily have any affiliations that come immediately to mind. It does seem like, and I was super encouraged by what Jeremiah was saying about docent work, and Chris as well, that any opportunities to inform people about the harbor and what goes on there, like on a daily, first on a historical basis, but also on a daily basis, I think that's a huge win. The waterfront could be the heroes of people that are coming here, and I just think that there's communication opportunities that can push people in that direction, like Jeremiah was mentioning with the high school. So, I'll have to think about it a little bit to see if I have any direct affiliations. Otherwise, I'm happy to pick up whatever isn't currently being picked up.
All right, wonderful. Yeah. I believe that in one of our future agenda items, you will have a good opportunity to talk about Vistra, just because I think it's, anyway, we'll get there. But yeah, I think you're right in the right direction for that. And planning public benefits, I like that, because a lot of the time when developers go to the city and ask them, there's no wait, and they'll say, but you need to do that anyway, you know, so what is a public benefit, you know? So anyway, I like that. That's really good information, and I'd like to learn more about that. When we first did this last year, it was, you know, people just picked their own. We didn't assign any, so I don't necessarily feel comfortable doing that to you when I didn't do it to them. But how would we write that? So your affiliation with the planning department, you know, I think that that's a good just planning department or planning commission. And then just get back to us about it. Just pick two or three. I mean, I guess I would just say Cal Poly. Mine are Chamber of Commerce, Embarcadero Leaseholders, and local schools. So I will just go down to grade schools, you know, if you want to handle, you know, the larger institutions of college. And
okay. Yeah, that works. So we'll say kind of like planning commission affiliate and Cal Poly, let's say.
Okay. All right. So we'll put that down now. And then if anything else pops up in the future, you can just try and get feedback on current items. So
cool. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. So does anybody, I didn't ask everybody if they had a question after everything, but in a whole, does anybody have any questions for anybody about their outreach? Looking for I don't see any hands. There's nothing to vote on, so I'm going to open up public comment. And Highland, do we have anybody in the queue for public comment?
Thank you, Chair. We do not have any raised hands.
All right, perfect. Moving on right along. Let's see.
Jeremiah, did you have a comment?
Thanks, Kel. I did, Charisse.
I'm sorry, I didn't see it. I looked.
I was struggling to unmute here, and unfortunately, it took me a few minutes. It's operator error. In any case, I just wanted to. I said earlier in my first presentation, I'd leave my phone number. And I just wanted to do that because I remembered I did not. So, if anybody is looking to take their group on any educational waterfront tour, whether it's the harbor or the fishing industry, my phone number is area code 805-441-7468. And feel free to call, and we'll be happy to arrange something. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Right. So we're going to move on to item B4. City Council's adopted 2021-22 goals and action items, and that is gap analysis of the Harbor Walk public space. So, Eric, do you want me to go to you first for a little brief, or would you like me to go to the chair of this?
Well, let me run through. Not sure we have a chair of Harbor Walk parking, but. Yeah, why don't you let me run through this, and then we'll just kind of run it like a normal staff report. So this is one of our goal action items, one of the goals, you know, we went over back in, I think, November, just what the city council's adopted goals were in relation to the HAB and what we're doing and the ones that relate directly. And the Harbor Walk was one of them. One of the council's goals this year is to start filling in gaps in the Harbor Walk, which is, you know, the walkway from one end of the developed waterfront, probably all the way out to the rock and beyond. And so looking to try and start filling those gaps. And so, you know, the last 10, 15 years, the lease sites have begun filling in quite a few of those gaps on the water side of their lease sites. We, the city, got some granting about 7 or 8 years ago to build the Harbor Walk out to Morrow Rock, you know, the boardwalk out to Morrow Rock, and did the bike path, and then did another branch over down the Dirt Extension of Embarcadero to the creek. And like I said, they're kind of filling in a lot of the gaps and a lot of the lease sites. And so it's the city's goal to start filling in the public gaps. So the leaseholders, they're responsible. Usually when they redevelop, all major redevelopments have to have the Harbor Walk put in. So they've been filling those gaps, but there's all the public gaps that the city is, intending to try and, find. And so I thought it would be a useful exercise to start doing some gap analysis. And then, lo and behold, I came across the city's, so the last few years we've done a pretty big update of the general plan and local coastal program and some other documents that attach to that. One of those documents was the lateral access technical memo that had pretty much a lot of these gaps already identified. So I think still be useful exercise to start going through those gaps, and I'll bring it up on the screen here in a second. And put those up and just sort of talk about, you know, what they are and how they might best be filled if there's better alternatives for them, because they're just, you know, on paper right now. So I will throw that up on the screen. So everybody see that? So this is from the August 2019 Lateral Access Technical Memo. It's part... page 33 there, it's here's the cover of it if you've never seen it. It's all part of Plan Morro Bay, which is, like I say, the general plan, local coastal program. This plan and all its, like the waterfront master plan and all the other things that are going to attach to it are probably going to be a work in process over the next 4 or 5 years as we figure out how to pay for and do all the add-ons to the bigger plan. But this is one of the documents that's been created. And so the Harbor Walk, being one of those things that's in the plan, the city's overall plan to try and complete, you know, which is a big public space. Again, I thought it'd be a useful exercise to go through this. So this, I'm just going to go through these page by page, probably just identify what it is, where we are, and then I guess I'll just open it up to discussion. Sharice, if you want to kind of manage a discussion and figure out how we want to work through it, take any public comment, and then maybe piece by piece, and we'll work through it. So this is the northern part of the waterfront. This yellow here, the North T Pier, South T Pier. So currently up at the top, everybody see my pointer going through here, okay? So up here at the top, this is the Harbor Walk as it comes through the power plant intake building behind it along the street, and then it stops. And so the identified gap and the at least a potential fill for it is this dotted line, which comes back behind the Coast Guard station, the Harbor Department here, restroom, Tognazzini's, runs along through the alleyway here, and then dives back out at Morro Bay Landing, which was recently developed a couple of years ago. And then they have their Harbor Walk component going through here. So then dives in front of Harbor Hut, does a dogleg around the corner and on past CAFCO. Another component of this public harbor walk is also in front of, probably wasn't completed when this plan, at least when this drawing was put together, this being Harbor Hut, there's docks down here and docks down in front of Morro Bay Landing. Those docks are publicly accessible, at least the head floats are, not out to the slips. You can't go walking out to the ends of the slips, but you can walk on the head float, which is the part that parallels the water. So there's public access all along there, along the backside of Harbor Hut, and then along GAFCO too. The public is allowed on this walkway all the way until it goes into the South T Pier. So this dash green line is an identified gap. I'll stop there and see what kind of discussion we want to have on that.
So what would the Harbor Walk change about that little dotted line section? I mean, it's kind of open. People walk down there. The cars drive. I mean, they're not going to put trucks on top of the asphalt or anything, right? Would it just paint it red?
Well, I think there's two parts to this exercise. One is this the best route for it? And two, or are there alternative routes? And two, what is the path? Along our lease sites, none of them are really very consistent. As you know, as you walk along, everyone's kind of got their own material and their own style. I think the city's overall goal in the wayfinding world, not just to kind of guide people around town and around the waterfront, but is also going to be on that harbor walk and put some sort of identifying signage or moniker or something on the ground that as you walk along, you can say, oh yeah, I'm still on the harbor walk. Cause as you kind of lose track of it at points. And as you say, what do you put here? Your boardwalk along here, which is the fake wood for a while. And then in front of Morro Bay Landing, I think you went to concrete. The fake wood was kind of an experiment that didn't work too good when a lot of sand started migrating in, so they've gone to concrete. But yeah, what's in between here? Right now it's an alleyway. I call it an alleyway. It's sort of a roadway. It's really the access road back to the working dock here, the fish dock, and to the back side of the restaurant and the front side of this restaurant. And then, you know, in front of a restroom, in front of a working pier, and then in front of the Coast Guard and Harbor Patrol and on out. Yeah, there's nothing there now. There's no designated pathway, really. You got a little pathway along the side of Tognazzini's restaurant there, and a little pathway along the other side, but that's just really a walkway for those restaurants. There's really nothing identified. So I guess part of the discussion is, how would we get this through here? Any ideas on any of that kind of stuff?
Well, I have a question. Jeremiah, I was going to ask it of you, and you're going to talk, so you're probably going to answer the question. But, I mean, this is a working dock. Is it obstructed a lot of times for the use from the fishermen?
Well, you know, Sharice, it's, there's naturally more than one school of thought here. And mine differs probably somewhat with, you know, I know the guys down on the dock where they unload don't like anybody walking in and around the area where they're working, and that's certainly understandable. But they usually cordon that off. So that area in question here, it is a thoroughfare used by generally trucks, you know, coming in and out of there for reasons of commerce, fish, and so forth. it's your, you know, I like to see the tourists be able to watch the boats unload. They love that. And it's the only vantage point, I think, in the town. It's hard to get down Geo's when he's unloading fish because he's kind of off the, away from the public thoroughfare. And this is right on it. So I think just doing some sort of painting on the existing, I mean, it would certainly be cheap, and I can see where any type of regular boardwalk wouldn't survive down there with the truck traffic and so forth. So just probably, Eric, I don't know, painting something so that people would know they're still on the boardwalk and it goes through here. Especially now there's going to be a couple more businesses down there. Mark has his place, and I know both Neil and George sell oysters down there. So it'll bring customers back there too. So that's, I think, it'll be a big help for those businesses.
It's a tough zone. It's a tough zone because it's fascinating for people to watch. It's great activity for people to watch. But like you said, how do you keep them safely away? You know, I come to work here every morning, and you've all been down here. You know, largely as people go by GAFCO, they're walking along the boardwalk pretty well, and they get in front of Harbor Hut, and they're okay. And then they're just kind of left to their own devices and either walk up the alley or they walk to the parking lot, and people backing, you know, cars backing out. I mean, it's a parking lot. It's not a walkway, but people are treating it like a walkway. And so we need to come up with some kind of a fix through there. I just don't know what exactly it is to keep them physically separated and corralled where they ought to be.
Just direct them, something on the ground, you know, maybe some, I'm not into signage, but some small signage or something painted on the ground just to direct them, arrows, continue your hunger walk or something.
So I know that we're in a discussion, and one of the things to keep it all organized is to use the little icon to raise your hand, and then when you're done, to lower your hand. And so I see that, Sean, you just raised yours, so I'm going to call on you next. But I did want to say something and ask. So Great American Fish Company, Harbor Hut, you know, all these other lease sites had to pay for their harbor walk in front of them, whether it was, you know, pilings and a walkway over the water, or if it was right in front of them. Is there a reason why Tognazzini didn't have to do any of that?
Both Tognazzini's lease sites and Krill's lease sites have a requirement in their leases that they can either build the harbor walk at their own cost where the city so deems it to be built, or if the city builds it, they have to pay their fair share towards it as well, just like Harbor Hut and Jeff. Go ahead.
Okay, so this is just because the city hasn't decided how or where they're going to do it.
Correct. And when Fowler rebuilt, of course, he was required to do it as he did his rebuild.
Okay. Well, I think I know the route that I would like to take, and I don't think it's this one. Just knowing how important the Coast Guard to get to their vessels are, the Harbor Department to get to their vessels, I that particular route doesn't seem the proper safety way to do it. And then just with all of the, you know, the working waterfront, we're supposed to be protecting our fishermen and not getting in the way of them, you know, making their money, and it just seems like a interesting way. So anyway, I'm going to suggest a different route. My suggestion would be to go straight as it's coming out from the north and just continue on the sidewalk till you get to Tognazzini's and then have it jog in. I think having a harbor walk and a nice wide sidewalk at the front of my business has been an asset to me with how I bring in customers. And so I would say it should just meet a straight line with with Fowler's building and just jot through. Anyway, I don't have a pointer, but I'm using the pointer. Yeah, exactly. To go there and then right at that corner right there, jog out to the sidewalk. And I know that, well, maybe even a little lateral, you know, not a straight 90, but, you know, just a little bit, maybe because you got the public restrooms too, to create, you know, a nice jog over there. But you also have, you know, you can't keep going with the Harbor Department because the Coast Guard built that, you know, area for unisex housing. So I would say just making it jog. So it's just one jog rather than a U. Yeah.
So you'd say cut it across over to the walkway to what would be a walkway over here.
Right. Over here. Yeah. That's my suggestion. So Sean, what's your input or question?
I had two thoughts. The first, and this is a kind of a nice thing because it doesn't cost any money, is that enforcement of our existing sidewalks and obstructions on them is a pretty big opportunity. It's hard to tell exactly what the mechanism is for that, but you know, down by, just on looking on the south side of this, down by GAFCO, for example, there's a built-in bench that if people sit in it, then their legs go and cover the whole sidewalk, and right across from it is a new merry-go-round. So those little things, I know, eliminate walkability. And so, you know, Harbor Hut kind of spilled a couple of their picnic tables into that pathway. So, you know, it's a small free or really cheap thing is to have a concerted effort from everybody to keep those pathways clear, because we have kind of already obstructed pathways. So if we meet the public halfway and remove some of those, I think that's a great step in the right direction. The most difficult, so I sort of disagree with Charisse on the jog in, just because the more you take people away from the water, the less they want to be here, is kind of my thinking. Is that, you know, even down by Charisse's place, the more they're on Embarcadero instead of the waterfront, they kind of get that shadowy effect, especially in the evening hours. But I totally understand and sympathize with the fishing industry. The toughest corner is the landing jog into dockside. I do kind of like the temporary route personally, but in terms of signage right there, it is a little bit tricky as to what the city wants people to do, and people are looking for direction. So I like, I think it was Jeremiah said, we kind of need a subtle marking, maybe not full-blown wayfinding signage, but really subtle markings that become the system, and your eye almost catches it, whether it's a very thin outlined ground arrow or marking. But yeah, that's kind of the corner that needs some direction.
All right. Any other questions? I'm not seeing any other raised hands. Oh, there's Jean's hand. Jean, go for it. Unmute.
Jean, you need to unmute your mic.
Okay, you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Eric, if you can go back and show that picture again. Okay, where the old Thai Bounty boat is, we've gone ahead and put Harbor Walk across, continuation of the one in front of Morro Bay Landing. It ends right there. Okay. If you were to continue on with the Harbor Walk right there, it sticks out into where the parking is for Docksider. So all that, that's as far as the Harbor Walk goes, it right to there. So if you were to continue on the east side of that building, you would eliminate all that parking. So that won't work really. I have no problem at all with having the walkway on the west side of Dockside. I think it's a great vehicular pedestrian corridor. You have to, people who drive that little alleyway, they know that they can't go more than 5 miles an hour. That's a pedestrian speed. And I just think it's an interaction for people to enjoy. So that's where I am right now.
Could it be, I'm going to just throw some conversation in there, because I had thought about this side too, widening the walkway along Tognazzini's to make it 6 or 8 feet wide, put a little metal rail along there to keep people kind of tucked in there and out of the road. You'd have to make that, and this is a question more for Jeremiah because you drive through there more than I do, but if you could, you restrict truck traffic through here to make it only delivery vehicles, one way, fire lanes, the whole nine yards, and would that still be workable?
I don't think it's wide enough for a truck, a big fish truck to go through there. It's really tight.
Without it pulling over onto the wharf.
Yeah, it's only 20 feet wide right there.
Yeah.
So it's very, very limited, and it's very limited on the other side of the building also, because it would any encroachment there would, as Gene said, would take out parking, a lot of parking. And but anyway, it's worked down there over the years the way it is, you know. So by putting signage or lines on the road, arrows, it will direct more traffic. But I don't know. It never seems to me have been to, except on certain events, to have been extreme traffic to where it would impede either your department, Eric, or the Coast Guard. What do you say to that?
Eric, I'm going to jump in real quick. With the Coast Guard building new annexes on, it almost forces people to turn to the west to walk along the waterfront. If you were to keep going pedestrian on the east side of the Coast Guard building, it's really narrow. You're there walking right through the traffic lane.
It is very narrow. You can't really get out of the way. And you,
no.
And if the Coast Guard has their windows open, you're, because some people try and hop up on that little curb next to it, and then if the Coast Guard's windows are open, they run into those.
Yeah. So I think the way the path of traffic is right now is an acceptable one. Maybe, you know, you paint part of it red like the rest of the boardwalk or something like that. And some signage that says, you know, you're in a vehicular area there, watch for trucks or something or other.
I think I know Sean's answer on this, but what about, I'm going to throw this out, is this an alternative that is just a not acceptable going out to the, like they have it along here behind the intake building, diving out maybe here, out to the, I know, like I said, I know Sean's answer because he wants to keep it to the water side, but is it totally a non-starter to run it along the roadside between the parking and the road?
You know, Eric, that would leave, again, I know, I know the fish company doesn't like people encroaching on the property. They are cordoned off, and this is one of the few opportunities people have to see boats unloading. And, of course, there's no sign up, so at least people would get to see that if they were lucky enough to be walking by and there was a boat unloading, you know. If tourists were directed around that area, half of them or three quarters of them would never have the opportunity to see it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't advocating for it. I'm just asking, if is that a total non-starter? And it sounds like your answer to Jeremiah is no as well.
Well, yeah, I'm not a non-starter on any decision that's made personally. I'm just trying to get to the most sensible, and and also it seems to me this is the most sensible, and also it seems to me it would be the least expensive.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I thank you very much, Jeremiah and Gene, for that. I would have assumed that, you know, pedestrians walking through there would be a hindrance to them getting their job done. But if it's something that brings, you know, positivity to them and that they get to enjoy the fact that they're, you know, getting watched while they're working. Okay. Sounds good to me. So I guess one of the things that seems with everybody that we're talking about is that it would just need to be like paintings on the street. So, because you wouldn't want to make it raised so cars couldn't go over it or it would, you know. So, anyway, so Eric, with this input that we've done, do you want us to kind of take what we've all talked about or somebody to make a motion that we agree with this pathway, we don't agree with this pathway? How would you say?
I don't know that we need to get that formal. I think we can work on consensus base, and it seems a consensus is to keep it running along here. Some sort of fairly harmless is the wrong word, but obvious, but not, you know, big signs, you know, with an arrow and flashing lights kind of stuff. We want to keep it low key. Running back here through the public safety park is going to be troublesome no matter what. I don't know what the answer for that is. I know when the boardwalk was getting built out at the Rock, this was a discussion 15 years ago with Public Works, and there was talk of putting a walkway along out over the revetment to get them out of the parking lane, which would kind of work through this section, but not through the fish dock, because that's the fish dock. So there may be other alternatives here, but it seems the consensus is keep it running along the dotted line. Quick and fairly inexpensive things can be done now with some marking on the ground or maybe some real low-key signage to keep people moving along here and keep them kind of corralled through here. That seems to be my consensus.
Okay, so I would, I guess I would just want, personally, I want a little bit more feedback. I'd want one of us to contact the Coast Guard and get their understanding of how they think that would work for them. I mean, I know the majority of them already kind of do that already now, but to have it actually laid out in front of their building and then also get a little bit more feedback of the actual businesses that are working on their boats and need to have the cars go through, what their take on this would be before I would move forward. So thinking about organization of how we're supposed to go to the next step, does anybody want to make a motion that says, yes, I like this pathway, or, you know, or they suggest a different pathway and we can vote on that?
I'll make a motion. I like this pathway.
Yeah, I'll second it.
All right. And then I guess I should... You already did that, so we're going to have to make a vote, but we'll have to... Okay, anyway, shouldn't we talk about what it is that we want the substance to be that's down, whether it's paint or the other kind of, what is it, recycled wood that they put on there, Eric?
I don't know that it would be valuable to go to that level yet, because there may be already... I think whatever would go there should be continuous or compatible or like what our wayfinding stuff that we're doing right now, the city's working on citywide. So I think you want it consistent. You know, it's the whole branding thing. You don't want it being completely different. And I don't know what the city's Harbor Walk wayfinding in general is looking like. So I think you'd want to wait to see what the options that are already under consideration are.
Okay, so we're just talking pathway as far as voting goes. We have a motion and a second out there. Lori, I think we need to take care of it if we want, or do we have...
I think Sean's got a question or a comment.
So can we have questions since there's a motion out there? Can we have questions before that motion is voted on?
Discussion, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so discussion, and Sean, where are you? Go for it.
My question is about the landing. I'd be curious to hear what your guys' take is on this. I know there are coastal access signs, but as far as the public goes, there's no real meaningful coastal access at the landing. There's that second floor deck that kind of has some signage that where they're building the restaurant, and then the alley between Harbor Hut and the landing has some electrical panels, and there I think there's a sign in there. But as far as the public goes, there's no meaningful coastal access. Is that something that folks, that's kind of the plan, is that that's meant for kind of boat traffic or a really curious pedestrian?
No, this alleyway between Harbor Hut and the landing is supposed to, I'm pretty sure, is supposed to be coastal access because there's a
gang. Yeah, there.
Say again, Gene?
We have 11 signs. So okay. It's timing.
But I think your point, Sean, and I don't think it's just this spot. I think it's kind of everywhere along the Embarcadero. You know, as each lee site is redeveloped and had to put in their coastal access, they got the standard blue sign, and it kind of goes where they think it ought to go, and there's no real consistency. I think probably a concerted effort at some point to get all those things consistent and visible and making them so where they make sense would probably be a good exercise.
All right, cool. That's all I had. Thanks.
You're muted, Sheree.
Yeah. Okay. So as far as this vote goes, my question is, I can't add anything to it to like get input from them in order to vote yes on it. No. It's stated as it is. So, all right, I don't have any more questions. Anybody else? All right, Laura, you want to do a vote?
Sure. Member Vail. Do we see Member Vail? Member O'Brien.
Yes.
Member Myers.
Yes.
Member Green.
Yes.
Member Dowdy.
Yes.
Member Hansen.
Okay, yes.
And your motion passes.
We've lost Chris. Anybody see him?
Island from AJP. Chris appears to have disconnected and reconnected him. I have him promoted to panelist.
Yes.
I noted, Chris. I have your vote.
Okay, so I'm not going to do public comment until we're through all of this. So, Eric, you want to take us to the next section?
Yeah, so that's that page. This is a continuation on... so this boardwalk exists through here, Great American Fish Company, South T Pier. Again, this is public through here, comes around the corner, Beach Street coming down here. And then there's this is the existing, sidewalk, standard street sidewalk along here. And then when Giovanni's, Market and Slips down here redid their project down there and put in all the slips and did some other improvements, they're required to put in the harbor walk through. Through the backside of their site, you know, kind of along similar to the fish dock, they have the allowance in there that if they're got active, you know, fish unloading or any sort of activity that may be deemed dangerous, they can close it off to the public. But they're supposed to keep that open, and I think it's marked. I think it's just yellow marking on the grounds is what that consists of. So it goes through there. And then this is established harbor walk along the backside of Giovanni's Market. I think they've got a bunch of seating back there. And then it resumes just standard sidewalks along there. This looks like the pier going out at Anchor Memorial Park and the walkway through the park. House of Juju, Harbor Center, those were all recently connected over the last year, year and a half through there. Sidewalk, of course, run along Embarcadero. Street end, no sidewalk, it says there. You've got lateral access down out, or vertical access out to the street end. Boardwalk continues on. This looks like Anderson Inn to me. They've connected the boardwalk through there and then connects up through what's now the courthouse, used to be the old Otter Rock Cafe, and then the boatyard building, and then the red line here, that is Charisse's TLC, the Harbor Walk Plaza, that's obviously going to be completed. So that'll be a gap that'll get filled. So really it's the, you know, if there's any gaps in here, you were looking at the dotted lines. It's through GEOs, they're calling that, what do they call it? Unimproved lateral access. It's there, but they're calling it unimproved. And then this little section through here, through the street end off the crosswalk. And then this one, of course, will be completed through. So any discussion on that one?
Yeah, Eric, it looks like the down by Geo's there, you've got the green solid line around,
And then adding that, yeah, that line, why is it necessary to have the line to the west of that also?
Well, it's in one of their permit requirements, and I think coastal and probably the city permit, so they're required to have that access through there. It's the same, you know, city's goal to get the public access on the water side of all this. This one being a challenging one, and the next one's going to be Associated Pacific at the far end.
Yeah.
Industrial site, too. That's the challenge of it.
Yeah. That's kind of why I asked the question, because in that area, he's got a lot of forklifts running around, and there's trucks backing in and out. I mean, that is... So, at the other end where March is, the area is cordoned off, and in this case, it's actually fenced off. But this this western trail or walk goes right through the middle of it. So it just kind of doesn't seem like the most opportune place to go through. I walk around it myself.
Hey, Jeremiah, how is that different from the area that we were just covering? Is it that much busier? What is the reason?
Well, in this case, at Geo's, they've got trucks and forklifts and so forth going all through that whole area there. It's, besides that, it's a parking lot, and there's semis coming in and out, and there is ice traffic, fuel traffic, so forth and so on. And that's where it all takes place. And the other end, Cherise, mostly all of it takes place inside of where it's cordoned off, except for when the forklifts do have to come out to load and offload trucks on that street. But I don't know. It just seems to me like it would be a very inconvenient place for people walking through in this case.
Yeah, this is a challenge. Had a comment?
Go, Cal.
Go for it, Cal.
Yeah, so I literally live like, you know, less than a quarter mile from there, and I'm always excited when that gate is open. I like walking through that area personally. From an aesthetics perspective, it's really ugly, especially this gate here. I mean, it has a coastal access gate. You walk through there, it has that working dock piece. But I think that especially right as you go through the gate, you turn to the east, and it's just an open warehouse. So I think purely from an aesthetic perspective, you know, having it cleaned up a little bit would be okay, but I don't think there's much other than maybe, you know, painting the sidewalk red like we were talking about on the other piece. I don't think there's any physical infrastructure that could really be changed. But I think just a general, you know, spruce up, you know, coat of paint and, you know, maybe a little better, you know, putting things away. I'm not sure. I know there's a gas dock there and a couple other things, but that's just, again, my two cents worth walking through there.
All righty, we got Sean.
I actually think that the western route here is absolutely crucial to Morro Bay. I don't know how many linear feet that is, 300 maybe, maybe even more. And in terms of there's sidewalk tripping hazards, aside from the equipment, which is certainly necessary, and they do a pretty decent job of keeping it off of the 5 foot wide western lateral access. There's some, you know, chipped concrete pieces of wood coming up, and then right at the property transition by those crab tanks, there's kind of a pretty steep little corner that's a bit of a hazard. So around the western perimeter of that building also, there's, you know, some kind of benches and stuff that make it tough for even 5 feet to be maintained. So I just think that western route right there is such a huge asset, in the same way that the western route at the dock side is a huge asset. And whatever we can do to keep that safe balance between a working waterfront and people walking through there is worth fighting for, I think.
Therese?
Yeah.
I kind of go with Jeremiah there. I think that's part of the real working waterfront, and I hate to see it being lost. I just assume keep it as is. Perhaps you can continue that yellow line parallel with the building to tie in that way.
All right, those are different responses than I thought. Does anybody, want to make a motion for a different pathway or want to make a motion to accept this pathway as is?
And I'm just going to jump in and say, some of these, we probably take on two of the most challenging ones there are. And the one down associated will be the third. And we don't have to have an answer or a great solution for this. I mean, it is what it is. We're just, see if there's any ideas out there. And this is just what's been identified so far and what's in place so far. Don't feel like we have to solve everything tonight, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to address some of the issues that Sean brought up, is to, leave it, where they can coordinate off when they need to, but to see if there's, areas of just, minor improvement, fix the driveway, fix the chip concrete, improve it from a, safety perspective. That would be my motion, is to see if there's an opportunity to improve that walkway, get it up to code, but leave the limited access.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That seems like, I don't know. Eric, what do you say as far as that being a motion? It's private property, so I don't even know if that's really something that we could suggest.
It has a big coastal access sign on it, so it's not, it needs to be maintained as is, as far as I know.
That is private property through there. The lease site falls along the water line and then does a weird dive and cuts off part of that building and then dives back down. It's a strange lease site, but you're right. The vast majority of that is private property. Nevertheless, it is currently conditioned to provide that public access through there, through the permitting that private property has had. It doesn't matter that it's private. It still has that condition on it.
So I'm just saying that as far as that motion goes, and it being private property, is that a motion that we want to say, to tell people what they have? Anyway, how they maintain it. I think we need to keep it to the, do you like that path or not? Or do you have a different path?
Okay.
But if somebody seconds your motion, then we'll do the next thing of voting. So just letting you know.
Is the motion to approve it as is?
No, the motion, you want to rephrase it, sure, or say it again?
So the motion was to keep the path as is, but review it from a, safety perspective. Like I say, Sean mentioned that the chip concrete, I like it the way it is. I just want to make sure it's safe.
I second the motion.
Thank you.
Any questions, or do we want to? I
guess we still have to do the whole public comment. Oh, we're waiting until the end.
Yeah, we're waiting until the end.
There's nobody on anyway.
All right, so we're going to go for a vote. Laura, you want to do the vote now?
Sure. Member Vail? Member Vail?
Yes.
Member O'Brien?
Yes.
Member Myers?
Yes.
Member Green?
Yes.
Member Dowdy?
I'll say yes, as long as we don't impede the working waterfront.
Member Hansen?
Yes.
Gene, Jeremiah, did I call you?
Yes, and I answered affirmative.
Okay, thank you. Just wanted to double check. And your motion passes.
All right.
Sure.
Great. Cool. All right. So we'll move on to Eric. There wasn't really another one. Are we going to go to this next map to talk about that?
Well, if you want to go down, there's a couple more. So we got to this point, Anderson's more or less, right? And then you head on south. Well, actually, we got to TLC, to Harbor Walk Center here, and then Libertine. Libertine's in the middle of proposing a redevelopment project right now, and they're going to have the requirement to fix that. If that project moves forward, TLC is leveled to the ground, and so that project's moving forward. So this connection should get made and be taken care of. The standard sidewalk along here is not going to change. It's still there. One of the Planning Commission's recommendations through here was the Libertine proposal had left the existing building, which has got like a, I don't know, 5 foot wide sidewalk with a light post right in the middle of it. Planning Commission didn't like that. They wanted to move it back. So that's still a work in progress, but, we'll get the connection on through here. And then over on the other side, Roses Landing, you got a good connection through Roses. In fact, you got a new one because they, did the I-5 interchange off that little dock over to their boardwalk on the backside. And you still got the sidewalk on the street side, of course. So you go back through Roses. Dutchman is proposing some redevelopment of their side on the backside, kind of retooling some of the things back where the old fish dock used to be, the slime eel dock. That person's gone. They're not intending to keep that fish fire back there just because it's such a challenging place to have trucks coming and going. So they're going to do a little revamp on the pier and make it all public space, and then proposing to keep connect their harbor walk back through the backside of their building that's behind Dolphin Shirt Company, where currently there is no connection. But then once you get to their main building, the Dutchman Seafood House building, there is access back in there. It connects on through the sidewalk over to Marina Square. Marina Square's got a nice big wide boardwalk along through the back here, pathway. Of course, you still got the streets, sidewalks. So you get all along the backside of Marina Square to the street end again, and then you get to the Morro Bay Aquarium, where obviously we've got a gap there. We've got Three Stacks and a Rock Brewery and a building lease there, getting ready to open up shop. They're in the long term want to redevelop that whole site, but for now, they're staying pat with just staying on the ground floor, not doing anything on the water side. So that's a gap through there that'll need to be addressed. And then you hit, La Roque, the hotel units through here, where there's a good connection through the backside here. And this must have been made before this was completed, because you get past the Salt Building, which had their Harbor Walk connection made over the last year or so, and then the same thing at Gray's Inn. Kind of ends at Gray's Inn. Gray's has a nice vertical access through here, but you get to Kayak Horizons, or what used to be Kayak Horizons, now Morro Bay Paddle Sports. It ends, and then it hits the street end there next to the Yacht Club, so that's the other gap there. So I guess as far as things to address here, these are works in progress. These should get connected. I don't think there's much we need to worry about there. Through the backside of Dutchman, as long as they keep moving forward on their proposed project, that should get connected through there, so there's not too much to discuss here. Morro Bay Aquarium, that's a gap that's worthy of discussion. And once you hit the end here at the Morro Bay Paddle Sports, the stand-up paddle company, the problem here is you're down at a lower elevation because the La Roque site dropped the elevation down from sort of the standard grade that everybody was at, which was kind of at the top of the revetment level. They're down a few feet lower because they didn't want it right at their hotel level. And then so the Salt Building had to connect at that same level, as did Gray's Inn. And now we're lower elevation. We got to get back up to street level down here by the...
We're about 4 feet lower than the street level.
4 feet. Okay. Gene, the man that's worked on it, so... So there's the gaps there, aquarium really, and at the end of the Paddle Sport Company, the old Kayak Horizons.
So Jeremiah, I think your hand was up first.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Therese. I was just curious, Eric. As far as the aquarium goes, I'm sure there's probably, I don't know how the new lease is. I was just thinking the building's very old. Is there city or private companies' plans as of yet to rebuild that building? Because I was thinking if you put the Harbor Walk in there now, then you would have to design your building around
what you've already done, a smaller project. And it would just seem that you'd want to wait until somebody had a redevelopment project planned.
So Three Stacks and a Rock Brewing Company moved off of North Main. They're moving into the downstairs. They've done substantial amount of remodel downstairs. Between them and the city, we did seismic retrofitting on the building, replumbed it. They've done rewiring, put in several hundred thousand dollars worth of work to get that ready to be a brew pub. The back room that used to be the aquarium buildings is where all the brewery equipment is going. The front, which used to be the retail, is going to be customer retail, beer and pub food. And then the seal tanks they built over the top, they decked over the top, and they've got seating up there. So they're proposing to reuse that whole building. They're on a short-term lease right now. We're negotiating on a longer-term one based on everything they've done now that we're getting towards the end of their project. They're wanting to stay there in the long term. They've invested a good amount of money in it, so they're going to need to stay in there probably for at least 10 years before they do anything with it to recoup their investment. So that building is probably going to stay, at least the core building as it is, for the foreseeable future. They want to stay there long, long term and redevelop the whole site, the scrape to the ground, but that's going to be several years out. So, if we were to try to put anything along the backside there now, I'd have to go around what's existing.
Okay. I was under the impression the building was further beyond repair than apparently it was said to be. So I'm glad they're rebuilding everything there then. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, hi. Okay. So a couple questions for me, and then I'll call on you, Sean. The Morro Bay Aquarium, so what is their interim lease? How long do they have right now?
I want to say the interim is 3 years, might be five.
And based on their improvements, how long of a lease are they requesting?
That's under negotiation right now.
Okay. Knowing that it's a different property that has an extensive amount of concrete and just lots of stuff there, do you have any idea of how much it's going to cost to remove that if they needed to do a harbor walk in its place?
Along the backside?
Yeah.
No, it's an odd configuration back there because it drops down in elevation. From the at the top there where you come off the street end and go through that gate, it drops down 3 or 4 feet. Actually probably drops down about to the right level where it needs to be to attach to La Roque on the other side. Gene, would you kind of agree with that? I think they dead end on the other side on that big wall. It's pretty close in elevation.
The deck on the old deck for the aquarium is about maybe 8 or 10 inches lower than the dock to the south there.
So it's pretty. I mean, be a major. The wharf would be unusable for you. You'd have to rebuild that whole wharf and make a walkway out of it. But
yeah, that whole back end is just completely shot.
Yeah, you'd have to drop down with ADA accessible from the street down to that level, which is doable. I mean, obviously, anything's doable with enough space. So. It would be an extensive amount of work to convert that backside to that.
But the one thing that everybody needs to be aware of is all the harbor walk has to be ADA in compliance.
Right.
That kind of throws an extra monkey wrench in everything. And then on Gabriel's dock, which is behind the old salt building there, we're expanding that right now as he puts in a new marina to make it to 10-foot wide boardwalk. We've done that on Gray's Inn. And so that's 10 feet wide. And then where the old Kayak Horizon building and the end of Driftwood, to me, that should be the beginning of the Harbor Walk. That's a logical place. South of that is the Yacht Club, and you're not going to get a Harbor Walk in front of that. So to me, that's the key is there should be some kind of entrance there at the bottom of Driftwood to start the Harbor Walk. That seems to me the logical spot.
Um, Okay, so Morro Bay Paddle Sports, they just signed a new lease, correct?
They're in a sublease. Gray's Inn has a lease on that. They started down on a redevelopment proposal for that lease site, and then COVID hit, and everything kind of got put on pause, and so we've got them on a fairly short-term lease in there as they're going to have to start circling back to their proposal on that.
All right. And then my last question, and then I'll go to Sean, is of these two places that are currently in short-term leases, is there any part of a policy that says that they have to do the harbor walk if they want like a certain amount of years? Is there any part in the city documents?
I don't think the harbor walk has been viewed as optional, to be honest with you, in any redevelopment. It's been, you need to do this, and people have been putting it in.
So any long-term lease, whether it's 5 years or 50 years, they're going to have to do it if they want to stay there longer than a short-term.
For any significant redevelopment and a long-term lease, yeah, the harbor walk's going to have to go in.
Okay, good to know.
Also on the street side, that sidewalk needs to be 8 feet wide.
All right, Sean, go for it.
Yeah, first I want to thank Gene for bringing up every inch of elevation gain and lots, because it's super significant. That Salt Building, that La Roche Building, is kind of a west side, a Bayside, you know, architectural nightmare just in terms of ADA and stuff. So I'm a big supporter of the west side lateral access, but I'm also realistic where, you know, perhaps there could be a concerted effort to kind of beautify a jutting in at the aquarium building if we want to, you know, that started as a small dollar interim short-term lease that kind of creeped into a significant thing without much, you know, it just happened, and, you know, and so knowing that it's maybe not that feasible to go on the west side of that, perhaps there's an opportunity rather than just having the kind of the dotted straight line lateral access in front of the or just north of aquarium that even just north of that, if there was more like an actual rerouting around the aquarium. Just throwing out an idea. I don't know how much I believe in it, but in terms of practicality, we might be looking at, you know, 20 years before we can get on the west side of that aquarium if we do grant those three stacks a long-term lease without fixing that.
Anybody else have questions? All right. Well, I'll share. Can I share a picture, Eric?
Yes, I have to stop sharing. I have to unshare.
I'm just taking you out. I had to say I want to take you out. So anyway, showing a picture, and obviously we're going to create a harbor walk because it's Harbor Walk Plaza, and I am a firm believer in having this harbor walk go. Our access is going to be 15 feet on the harbor walk side, so very pro west side walking as far as that goes. So anyway, we're on our way, and I just thought I would share that. That it's we're starting to redo the revetment wall here in a couple weeks, and then we'll push everything back down dirt wise so in the next month or so. So anyway, just a cool picture, I thought. And then Eric, I wanted to know why don't the SEALs have our dock yet?
That's not on the agenda.
All right. Well, anyway, there was a little update. And I'm going to stop sharing, but I don't know as far as a motion goes, because there wasn't much, you know, you got to keep that pathway. Does anybody have a motion to say yes to the way it is, or any other concerns about the two places that are not currently having those pathways in their near future.
Can I make a quick comment?
Yeah, go for it.
Sharice, I want to thank you for doing the work that you're doing. I know how hard it is to get the permits. I know how long it is to get the permits. I know how expensive it is to build down there. And my hat goes off to you guys for doing this. It's a major accomplishment to get so far.
Okay. Yeah.
Nice. That you know.
You are, dear.
Much
you are.
Appreciated. It's been a. It's been a really interesting ride. A lot of uphill battles. I really appreciate the accolades. Thank you so much.
I thought I saw tear stains in that thing.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, does anybody want to say, make a motion to keep it the way it is, knowing that those, all these guys are going to eventually pull it together?
Yeah. I mean, motion is to not do anything, I think, in this particular area. Do we really need a motion on this one, Eric? Or can we
I don't think you do. I think it's status quo. It's yeah. still a work in yeah. progress, but the identified path is where I think everybody wants it.
Yeah. Right.
The discussion is how the heck do we make it happen, because it's kind of a weird spot.
Yeah.
Okay. Next to the last here. So... I'm going to orient myself. So there's Aquarium we just talked about, Kayak Horizons, Morbi Paddle Sports now ends here. Gene just drew a line in the sand there, but I think we still need to talk about it. Morbi Yacht Club, we have a big gap through there. Got the sidewalk going along the backside. And then next Morbi Yacht Club, we got Estero Inn. It used to be Estero Landing, the Estero Inn now, so they've got their nice connection through there. And then Associated Pacific Constructors, you got that little park right there in the end, the little Mariner Park. So a big gap through here at Associated Pacific and the little rental houses they've got down here. And then you're in the developed waterfront and you're down at Tidelands Park. So who wants to take that one away?
Ben, I'd like to say something about the Yacht Club at least. They've got a working area back there that would cut through, I think, Eric, their launch area, and it's a working area. There's always somebody working down back there, and boats moving in and out. I don't think it would be a good idea to put it on the west side. There isn't that. You're still only 100 feet perhaps from the water as you walk by the east side of the building. I just can't see cutting through there. It'd be major interference with their affairs there, I'd think.
Sean, you have your hand up?
I do.
I think Chris had it first. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see that.
Children are learning to sail. College programs are coming in and out, sailing regattas. There's launch facilities for the yacht club boats. And simply right there, if you're going to launch a boat from the tarmac into the water with the yacht club crane, you're going to either have to stop traffic every time or pass the boat over the heads of tourists. I would say absolutely not. The Yacht Club cannot have a western side walkway. It would be impossible for them to function as normal, and they've been there a while. So I would say somehow or other they get to keep their status without a west pathway. And I'm not a member.
I'll just kind of piggyback off of that I definitely would be supportive of Chris's position if the privacy screening, the 6-foot privacy fence for 100 linear feet was made visible, because we're so close to the water there, only 50, 80, maybe 100 feet from the water. But yet, you know, if you're under 6 feet tall, you can't see it. It seems like an opportunity for really everyone to see all the cool activity that goes on there.
I agree.
Yeah. So I'm, yeah, that's it.
Okie dokie. Let me look up and down here. Don't see any other hand. Oh, there's Jean.
Yes, I did something to the screen here. The walkway and the sidewalk on the east side is only about 5 feet wide. Perhaps you could make it 8 feet wide, and that would help quite a bit. And I like Sean's idea.
A question for Eric. Since they are a nonprofit and pay a smaller amount of their lease site, are they under the same circumstances as the other places like Great American and Tognazzini's, that when you guys decide where it is that they need to go, that they either need to do it themselves or pay the city to do it?
That is not in their lease. I think when that lease was negotiated, that wasn't anticipated. So no, it's not in there.
So if we all of a sudden said, hey, okay, well, you don't have to have it in the front, but you need to increase your sidewalk, that would be at a city's cost, most likely.
It would be negotiable with the yacht club. Everything's negotiable.
All right. Okay, so I like both of those ideas. Is anybody ready for a motion? Should I make one that includes everybody's comments? Anybody? All right, I'm going to make a motion. Fine. I make a motion that we leave the pathways as is, but request the Morro Bay Yacht Club to take down their privacy fencing and to increase the sidewalk in front to 8 feet along their property. Does anybody second? Okay, so we have a second. Anybody have any discussion or questions to that motion?
I was just wondering, Cherish. Now, and I totally understand, believe me, because I always wonder what's going on, and I love the yacht club. I'm not a participant, but I do like those guys. And I was just wondering what the regulations they're already under are, in regards to that fencing. So if they brought a permit from the city and the city permitted the fencing and they put the fencing up, you know, they might come back with, well, why the hell are you going to tell us before we did this? I mean, so is that going to be a requirement or a suggestion from the city?
Well, it's not the fence itself, just the guard, right? Is what there's, isn't there like black? Sean, you want to explain the privacy fencing?
From the street side, I'm not sure if it's wood over chain link or just pure wood, but it's the kind of the dog-eared 6 foot privacy fencing, for about 100 linear feet, which is a little bit different than what Associated Pacific has. I do think there's an opportunity to have that be, transparent as well, but that one's more of that's a different material there.
I think, Charisse, the hooks to get something done there are kind of twofold. One is see if the yacht club's, willing and able to do it voluntarily and, just friendly discussion city to yacht club. And the other is if they've got, like everybody else, they're seeking permits to do something significant, then it becomes a permit requirement. That's the typical route for all these things to get done.
And that's what I was thinking, that if they wanted to extend or, I mean... How long is their lease right now?
It's till 32, I believe.
Yeah, Laura's going to jump in. She's smarter than me.
So it's not necessarily that they have to have, by 32, it's not that they have to do any improvements to extend it because they're a nonprofit and we would charge a dollar, but it's the actual extension of the lease. So if we put something along those lines of, you know, try and, you know, create your fencing to be as viewable of the ocean so you're not obstructing the view, we will forego requiring you to put in a harbor walk if you do a different fence and larger sidewalks, right?
Yeah, I can see a number of conversations, but they've done over the last 20 years, they completely rebuilt their dock. I can't remember if they put in new pilings or not. They might have. Gene will probably remember. They put in a new gangway a couple years ago. They put an ADA lift up the stairs, you know, the ADA lift that runs people up the stairs. So they've done some significant projects. They're a well-run club. They're well-funded, and they spend their money on projects and improvements, and they do a good job at it. So I would imagine there's probably other pretty major projects that they still want to do. That building's probably going to need some remodeling at some point, and that's probably the time to start the conversation.
I would comment that this should start at the discussion stage with somebody simply attending a board meeting and sitting down and seeing what resistance levels might be there. I am positive from former associations with yacht clubs that the reason they put in the fencing was for supposed security. Like, well, if people don't know their boat's inside, they won't steal them. It's not, it never has been a factor. And it could very well be we could go talk to these people and they say, oh, sure, we were thinking about doing that anyway before we start sending them letters with rules, or anybody does that. I think we should talk to them and feel them out.
Yeah, there's even a chance that when they got the permit for the fence that the city required them to put it in with, you know, so it blocked the view of their storage. So, all right.
Was there a motion made on that?
Yeah, there was a motion and a second. So at this point, we could do a roll call. So it was, do you need me to rephrase or say again, Lori, or are you good?
No, I do need to know who seconded, because I did not hear that.
I believe it was Cal.
Cal, yeah.
Cal, okay. Thank you. Okay, I can do roll call. Member Vale? Member Vale?
Yes.
Member O'Brien?
Yes.
Member Myers?
Yes.
Member Green?
Yes.
Member Dowdy?
Yes.
Member Hansen?
Yes.
Your motion passes.
All right, Eric, so I think that concludes the whole section, and I'll look one more time. And do you have any more things to say? Or
I do, not so fast.
Okay.
I'm going to stop my share because I don't have a map for it. But there's another section of the waterfront that is so far not very publicly accessible, and that's from the launch ramp all the way down to the Intermodal Bay, that whole section down there that's all water-only lease sites, that and has private property adjacent. And over the last 10 or 12 years, as we've renewed some of those leases down there, we've had those couple of those leaseholders agree to not building a public walkway along there, but to agree that if the city were to fund it and build it, that they would be okay with it being built along there, provided it, you know, had sufficient security from their private property, because obviously there's a potential, you know, private property risk there. So, you know, going from, like, say, Intermodal Bay through Bayshore Bluff Parks, which is all unimproved land down kind of at the bottom of that park along that little bluff, and then you hit the Bayfront Marina and the boatyard and stuff through there. So I don't know if there's any comments on that, but it's, I think, in a plan somewhere. It's probably in the old waterfront master plan to connect through there. There's just been no identified funding or really methodology to do it, because it's kind of a weird spot.
That would be cool if it was in place. I've always kind of poked my eyes around the south end of that boat ramp, and I wonder what's down there. I don't know if we have to make a motion on it or not, but
I just see it as something that's never actually really going to happen.
Yeah.
That's kind of along the lines I was thinking, Eric. Is this something that we should be addressing, or perhaps like one of my grandkids could do it, or in the future?
It's a long view.
Well, I guess maybe the question is it a gap worth filling?
No. Probably someday, but today might not be the right day, probably 50 years from now or something. I'm serious,
Yeah, I'm not saying when or how or...
Yeah, not now.
Some of that waterfront, the actual waterway site, is environmental-sensitive habitat, and all of that area has eelgrass, so those are going to be some concerns.
Alrighty, so... Any other comments on that? I don't think we have anything. Nobody's going to make a motion unless they want to. All right. So I believe that concludes our discussion. I'm going to open it up for public comment right now. Hylan, you still with us? Hylan?
Yes, sorry, my mic was muted. There are no raised hands in the queue.
All right, thank you so very much. All righty, so now we can move on to item B4, which is City Council... Wait, no. Yep, nope. Keep going. That's not that one.
B5.
B6.
B6, why do we not... Yeah. B6. Review of previously declared Harbor Advisory Board future agenda items, list to retain or remove items from consideration. So everybody read all of these things. Eric did a good discussion as far as all of the different items on the list. And Eric, do you want to discuss it a little bit before we start our little process of removing?
I'll do a 1 minute quick run through. So we've kept the running list of future agenda items that have been declared over the years. Some things get dealt with and knocked off. Some things sit and linger there forever. It kind of depends on what the council's goals are and what our priorities are and what comes up. And so those 10 things there in the background are the ones that have been sitting there on the list. Some of them are fairly current. Some have been there for a while. Staff's recommendations are to remove, and I've got them numbered, and I keep the numbering as you go down through the discussion part, but my recommendation is to remove the working waterfront designation. That got dealt with back when we did the GPLCP update. We provided some information through a joint planning commission committee to the GPAC, the General Plan Advisory Committee, and provided them some information and language that went into that document. Same thing with the Measure D, some clarifications and some not definitions, but some clarifications, some language about Measure D. That had a committee with planning commission that went through and pushed through, so there's nothing really more to do there. I think it sat there because some people were wondering if, we're waiting for the general plan to get approved to see if it ever manifested itself, and it has, so I think there's really nothing more to do there. Number three, exploring benefits of becoming a Harbor Port District. It's not a council goal. We've looked at the possibility of doing this in the past. It's really a whole new, creating a whole new elected body in a special district. And so we've looked at it. We've never identified a viable path, political or otherwise, forward for it. So I don't think there's any more work to be done there. Item six, review TBID, the Tourism Business Improvement District assessment funding. The question was, where's that funding going and how's it benefiting the harbor? Well, TBID, advertises tourism benefits for the entire city, not just the harbor. So there's really not much to do there. I think the question got answered. Number seven, Eelgrass Committee proposed an action plan. We did propose some language for the GPLCP.
Those documents, I think, got incorporated in there. The main thing the Eelgrass Committee was working on is to see if there was a Morro Bay specific eelgrass mitigation plan that could be developed, and that the answer was sure, at the cost of about $250,000 or $300,000 to hire consultants to go through that whole process to get it approved by the state of California and the Corps of Engineers. So there's, and that committee's been disbanded, so there's really nothing more to be done on that one. And then item eight, discussion of the Castle Wind Community Benefit Funds. We've had, you know, the $250,000 funding we got from Castle Wind, ours to spend. We're putting, there's a majority of that's already been earmarked, a big chunk of it, to the Beach Street Slips Replacement Project, the commercial fishing boat slips, and about $40,000 to the Coleman Park restroom when that park moves a little forward with the grant funding it has right now. So there's really not much more to talk about with the Castle Wind Community Benefit Funds. Maybe later when the wind farm comes to fruition, there may be some funding coming out of a community benefit agreement out of that. So I don't see anything further to do on that. Items recommended for retention are number four, wind energy generation. That's sort of a general topic. Wind power generation is obviously still a live topic. They're probably going to be out to bid or out to lease the end of this year sometime. So the city of Morro Bay is certainly involved in that, both supporting Castle Wind and their bid to try and get a wind farm lease, and also supporting our commercial fishermen to make sure they're properly taken care of and mitigated and not completely run out by a wind farm. So that should stay on the list, because I'm sure the Harbor Advisory Board is going to see some action on that. Number five, creation of Embarcadero Business District to fund harbor infrastructure. Exploring a downtown or Embarcadero Business Improvement District bid is the current council goal. Chamber of Commerce right now is got a contract with the city to conduct a bid and a business improvement district feasibility study to see what areas might benefit from economic development initiatives. So that's a live item that we could have some input on. Number nine, review RV camping program. Obviously, our pilot program is going. There's initiative made it enough signatures to citizen signatures to potentially show up on a ballot of the citizens, or the city council could adopt it. That's to eliminate our RV camping program. We'll see how that plays out. Until it does, we're still going to keep running the program. Plus, we're still applying for a Coastal Commission permit for that program. And so all these things are, you know, kind of coming to a head. But until then, I think keeping it on our list is a good thing to do, because it may be beneficial to run some things at the Harbor Advisory Board at some point. And last but not least, consideration related to that of an RV camping ad hoc committee. Again, the purpose of, I think the stated purpose of that future agenda item was to form an ad hoc committee to assist the Harbor Department, oversee and manage the program. At this point, I think we're just going to keep going as we are. I don't think we need to do that yet until these other initiatives play out, and if we even have a program at the end of all this. So that's about as quick as I can get through those. So that's what I'm recommending to keep and get rid of on that future agenda list.
So I'm going to say how it is that I want to go through these. First thing I'm going to want to do is go through the removals. And so before we go through the retention. So on that note, let's start. If anybody has their hand raised, we'll answer the questions, because you might have something for Eric. But after that, let me try and organize this in a way that's not going to take all night. But for right now, questions for Eric, if you can keep it to the removal items. So, Jeremiah, did you have something to ask?
There we go. No, it was, I was just curious if, and this is Eric's job, so we're not trying to take your job, but is there anything that the Harbor Advisory Committee should be doing or working towards to think of what type of needs in 5 years from now or so the harbor's going to need for accepting any of the boats? I doubt if there'll be too many for the wind wind farm? Eric, you know, is there any alterations that we would need to make or accommodations that could be made? Should we be looking at what kind of vessels to expect? Of course, 5 years from now, they might change those.
Well, I think that's a good justification to leave it on the list of things to consider. Is that something I would anticipate needing to bring through the HAB? Probably not. We've already been engaged with Castle Wind, and another company's coming to town to start talking about what their needs may be. So as those things get identified, I can see that coming through the Harbor Advisory Board. But I think the core question is, do we leave it on? I think you just answered yourself, yes, I think we do, because those questions need to be answered.
Yeah, sure. And also, is there not federal money, Eric, for harbors that are accepting wind energy or expecting to be a wind energy platform? Or isn't there any federal money? It seems to me they...
I suspect there will be, yeah.
Yeah, because we should be keeping our eye on that. And Sean, trying to keep grant writing pen handy. So, okay, that's just a question I had.
Okay, all right, cool. So if we don't have any more questions for Eric, and I don't see any hands raised, then I'm going to go to what I want to hear from you guys is, out of all of the ones that are on the removal, do any of you feel like one of them should be kept? So if we said yes, one, no to one, two, three, six, seven, eight, of any of those, do any of you want to keep them on the future agendas?
Quick question. If we remove it now and we have some, you know, remorse, you know, 2 months from now, we can always bring it back, right?
Yes. Well, you would have to bring it back in as a request for a future agenda item.
Yeah.
And at that point, we would vote. And if you got your...
Yeah.
Then
I'm fine with removing the ones that Eric suggested.
Okay. Is there anybody else? Or is there anybody... I'm not seeing any hands raised. If nobody feels like there is one that we keep, I think one of you can make a motion to remove the items as staff.
I'll make the motion to remove the items from future agenda items as per staff report. Is that phrased properly?
Yes, it is phrased properly. Anyone want to second?
I'll second it.
Perfect. All right. And then discussion or questions from anybody on the board? No, I see none. Lori, would you like to take a vote?
Sure. Member Bale?
Yes.
Member O'Brien? Your mic is muted.
Yes. Sorry.
That's okay. Member Myers?
Yes.
Member Green?
Yes.
Member Dowdy? Member Dowdy?
Yes.
And Member Hansen?
Yes.
Okay, your motion passes.
Okay. All right, so moving forward on to the retention portion of this, 4, 5, 9, and 10. Does anybody at this moment wish to not have one of them kept, would like to have them removed, or do we anybody have any questions about them? I'm not seeing any questions. Okay, Cal.
See, the wind energy is basically the offshore stuff and the power lines coming in. Does that include anything with the battery factory, or is that separate?
Separate.
I think that's separate. It's a whole
okay. Fair enough.
Process.
don't have any questions about the topics that are listed as future agenda items.
Okay, so I don't see anybody, and so somebody, if you want to make a motion on this item to retain items 4, 5, 9, and 10 as staff.
I so move.
Okay.
I'll be Chris's wingman. I'll second the motion.
All right, Maverick. Okay, so I believe we've completed the request. We do still have the addition of future agenda items at the end of this. So I suggest if there was anything that you felt like needed to be reworded or added into a future agenda item, that we can do it at that point. But at this point, I will open it up for public comment. Hyland, do we have?
Hey, I'm sorry, Charisse. So was there a second on that motion?
Yeah.
Okay, so we need to vote on it. Who did the second? I'm sorry, I couldn't tell who did the second.
Cal.
Okay, so I'll do a roll call vote real quick. Member Vale?
Yes.
Member O'Brien?
Yes.
Member Myers?
Yes.
Member Green?
Yes.
Member Dowdy?
Yes.
And Member Hanson?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes.
All right. Wait, we're all in agreement on every single thing. This is all right, we're going to move on to agenda number B7, which is election of Harbor Advisory Board Chair and Vice Chair and establishment of subcommittee chair and member appointments. So, last time we did this, I had to all of a sudden become a chair while I was in the middle of the mountains with really poor reception and sitting in my car. So, anyone?
I would like to make a nomination.
All right, you go for it, Chris.
Due to the fact that she did such an outstanding job last year, I nominate Charisse Hanson.
I second it.
All right.
She doesn't want the job, though.
No, I am concerned, man. Do you see the hole in the ground of the Embarcadero right now? I am stressed. I got my stuff to do. But I do enjoy this. But I don't know if we have to vote on that. But if you guys ask for me, then I'm going to ask Cal to be my vice because he's organized. So anyway, I don't know. I'm doing this out of turn, and I'm already showing that maybe you shouldn't have done that. But anybody else want to make a motion for another person, or do we vote on this one? I
would like to nominate Cal Myers.
If you wanted help, Charisse, I know you have, like you say, a big hole in the ground. If you wouldn't mind being my wingman for it, or at least provide your cheat sheet.
All right. Well, geez, I don't know. I don't know where we went with this. Lori, what's the thing? We got
You have a motion on the table with a second.
Okay, so we got a motion on the table and a second for the first. I do not say no to it. I know that I am stressed, but I will do it one more year if you guys want me to. So, but
I'm gonna ask Eric, what does Eric think thought about it?
No, that's fine. And
to call the roll before she changes her mind.
All right, Lori, roll call.
Member Vale?
Yes.
Member O'Brien?
Absolutely.
Member Myers?
I'll just be, just so we're not so agreeable, I'll say no.
Member Green?
Yes.
Member Dowdy?
Yes.
Member Hanson?
Do I abstain from this one, or? All right. I say yes.
You can vote.
All right. Yes. I will do it, and I will do it well, and I will try my best.
All right, your motion passes.
All right, on that note, the person who said no Does anybody else want to put in a motion for the, oh wait, now we're doing vice chair, right? So vice chair, what do we got going on?
Can I nominate myself?
I nominated you.
Oh, all right. Go. Yes. Okay. That was on the floor before we did it, and I actually said it too. So you want to redo it, Chris?
I nominate Carol Myers as vice chair.
And I will second that. So do we have any questions, discussion from anybody on the board? I don't see any. So want to do a roll call?
Sure. Member Bale?
Yes.
Member O'Brien?
Yes.
Member Myers?
Yes.
Member Green?
Yes.
Member Dowdy?
Yes.
And Member Hansen?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes.
Okay, wonderful. So now we're going on to the subcommittees, and we have, I'll go in order, parking, we've been doing as number one, and currently we have Cal as chair, and Lori, do we have a vice chair? Is that Chris for vice chair?
I think so.
Okay, so, all right, you guys go vote each other in a Maverick style. Who wants to be chair, or who wants to make a motion for a chair for parking?
I mean, I'd make a motion to leave it as is unless I'm happy staying, unless, Chris, you want to change, or...
No, let's leave it as is.
Yeah, Eric? Do we really need a motion if we're just leaving it as is, if nothing changes?
I don't think so. The committees are established. You're just reaffirming it. I don't think you need to vote on those.
Okay, so we'll keep it as is. I like that because that's going to make this a lot quicker. Okay, so the next one is... let's just go to budget. And since they're not here... so we have a chair. Should we just, do we have, okay, Lori, do we have a chair and a vice chair, or is it just Mary is the chair and we don't have a vice chair for budget?
I believe Mary is chair.
And we don't need vice chairs per se.
We don't. Yeah.
Isn't this an appointment? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that I personally just think that we should have one chair for it, and then anybody else in the ad hoc can put in their 2 cents if they're not there for that meeting.
So it was Mary, myself, and Charisse, right? A little budget?
Yeah, Mary, yeah. Yes, three of us.
Okay. So if Mary was the chair, and we're all good with this, and Mary's not here, guess who's the chair?
There we go. Okay, now... we're not talking about, like, who's on that group, right? We're just talking about the chair right now.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to revisit one thing because I would like to ask Member Green if he'd like to be a part of any of these. So we're just doing chairs right now, and we'll come back to that. Okay, and then what's the next group we got? Brain services. Do we want to keep it as is? Is there any motion to have a different chair for that? Right now,
we don't have brains. I thought we do not have brain services ad hoc anymore. Is that correct? Or?
No, we still have it.
We still have it.
Right. Boatyard as part of it.
Okay.
Name. We did that a while ago, too. I asked for it to be changed to Marine Services, so... But it kept being Boatyard. Okay, is there another one?
And Chris is chair of that, apparently, right?
Right, Marine Services. So, anyway, anybody want to nominate a different chair or make them or keep it the way it is? Anybody questions, answers?
We'll leave it as long as Chris is okay with it.
I'm here.
Okay, so we'll keep going status quo with that. And I don't know why, but I feel like I'm missing one. Isn't there one more ad hoc committee? Okay, as the other thing that we are is the outreach groups. Okay, so we covered all of those, which concludes B7 appointments.
So I'll jump in real quick. If anybody wants to help out those committee chairs, Sean or anybody else, I know Sean, you're new, you know, and kind of getting your feet wet, but you know, you can always dive into those groups. You just got to keep them under a quorum, so, which for us is three.
I help, hopefully Chris and I will be doing the Marine services, and so I was on there with you, I think, Chris.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
You're just
so wrong. I was just kind of showing Sean that, you know, a lot of us, like Chris is the chair, but a lot of us assist with whoever happens to be a chair or what you want to work with, you know.
All right. Okay, so good. So we still have our groups. And so, Sean, we have budget, we have marine services, and we have parking. Right now in parking, we have three. So, but, you know, you might want to bump one of us or ask one of us if we want to go to a different group. But anyway, so there's three in parking. There's actually three in budget, which I will step down because it sounds like you have some expertise in that field that would be advantageous for that group. And then Marine Services, there's a space for that. So is there any...
There are three on Marine Services.
Oh, there's three on Marine Services?
Myself, there's Cal, and there's Jeremiah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
I'm totally fine with finance and budget if there's a space for me.
Okay, so I will remove myself from budget so there's not a Brown Act situation, and that leaves me on the group that I'm at, and that's all good. Okay, so we've completed that portion, which gets us to public comment, right? We didn't do that yet. So, Hyland, do we have any public comment on our last agenda item?
Thank you, Chair. There is no public comment.
All right. Great. Thank you very much. And so now is the time for future, if anybody would like to put in a request for future agenda items.
Yeah, my only one is, do we want to, similar to the wind farm, do we want to keep an eye on the battery?
That is so great. That's what I was going to say. So just like we used to have the future agenda item, you can make a request for a future agenda item.
Now, hang on.
Oh, wait. No, I can't?
Well, no, hold on. So while I'm digging through some paperwork here, just for everybody's sake, future agenda, somebody says, I want to do future agenda, and you get support of one other person, it can go on the agenda, but you who said, I want to have this as future agenda, you're writing the staff report and doing the research on it. If you get more than one person, it's like the council, if you get two, you know, three or more with our body, then it becomes a staff function. But I think we've already got, well, let me look. I was going to look on the battery.
There's a subtlety there, boy.
Our goals. I know.
I mean, it's worth, in my mind, it's worth doing just because of all the stuff.
And we've been voting unanimous all night long, so.
Yeah.
But is it already on our city council goals is my question.
Oh, okay.
Didn't have it on the agenda tonight. I want to look on our adopted council goals to see if they touch on that.
Well, I know, you know, Heading and Addis are on like an ad hoc committee with Vistra.
Cal, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Did you mention the intake building when you were talking about the battery storage earlier?
Correct. Yes, I did.
Is that part of the battery storage facility?
So
The way it was explained to me from Scott Graham is that the battery, it's not necessarily part of the battery storage, but that intake building, if I'm not mistaken, is where the power cables will come in. So it's more of the wind farm. So the cables will come in through the intake pipes, which obviously I'm assuming that's part of the intake building. I don't know the, you know, how that stuff is laid out under the ground, but it's not part of the battery per se, but it's part of the wind farm side of it, is my assumption. But I, to be honest with you, I don't know.
Okay, I'm just curious where that lays, how that building plays in this whole scenario.
Yeah, the building, I think Vistra doesn't care about that building because it doesn't, you know, they don't have any use for it. It, you know, it's probably contaminated anyway.
That building, I believe, and Eric can correct me, has already been more or less promised to the wind farm, right? That's what they, was in the intake in that building part of the deal, Eric?
Not for the wind farm per se, but
$250,000 that they...
No, not for the intake building. That's private property. But I'm just going to jump in. We're starting to discuss this and make an item out of it. So really, what I want to add, the point I want to make is leverage battery storage and reduce reliance on carbon-producing energy sources is a council goal. So obviously the council has got a goal to work on battery storage, and we've got somebody who wants to build one here. Okay. I would imagine if there's something that touches on the waterfront or has an impact on the waterfront, there's opportunities for the Harbor Advisory Board to weigh in on those things. So I'm not trying to avoid a future agenda item getting on the list, but it's already something the city's considering, and we probably, by way of proximity, will be touching on it at some point. So but I'll know that we need a future agenda item.
So here, what I was thinking is that the thing that you're getting rid of, that we got rid of, is, where did it go? Discussion of Castle Wind Community Benefit Funds, right? So if we change that to, say, discussion of Vistra Community Benefit Funds, you don't think that would be advantageous for us to try and make it as a future agenda item because it's more specific to the harbor? The city council is not really going to dole it out.
There are no Vistra community benefit funds.
Yes.
The city is beginning negotiations with Vista on what the city wants to see for community benefits out of that project.
Yeah, that's kind of that's my rationale for having it now instead of, you know, after the negotiations are done. I'd like to get my 2 cents in, or our 2 cents. I don't know. And I don't want to get us all in trouble or anything, but I'd rather tell Scott that the Harbor guys would love to do, you know, X, Y, and Z, and then instead of them, you know, negotiating something and then figure out what to do with it after the fact. But again, that's just my perspective.
And I agree. So,
I think it could work either way. You can either throw it on the future agenda, or it can be included as part of our goals discussion.
Oh, okay.
Bring it as a goals discussion item.
But we did goals last week, right? So.
Well, the goals are ongoing. We're going to continue to do those all throughout the next year. That's not going to stop.
All right. So you feel like we're going to accomplish them throughout the goals, and we don't necessarily need to make it a future agenda item.
Well, if you want to put it on there, that's fine. It sounds like there's support for it.
Okay. All right. I'm just more confused, but okay. Cal, you have put out the motion that you want to add it in there. Can you rephrase or just restate the way the motion?
I think Sean had a question first, though.
Oh.
Well, I just wanted to say that negotiation might happen sooner rather than later. So whether or not it makes it on the on a future agenda item, probably on February 15th, there will be a planning commission discussion of Vistra specific community benefits. So if people wanted to chime in as an individual to the planning commission, that's one opportunity. And then, you know, we can decide if we want it as a future agenda item here.
All right. Good to know. That is.
And we normally don't do motions for these. It's just consensus of other board members. Is that right, Eric?
Yeah, somebody says, I want this, and then somebody else says, yeah, I support that, and then a couple more say, yeah, then it's declared.
I want this.
I think we've crossed that threshold, Eric.
All right. So,
sorry.
If I can, because we're not out there, can I just see hands raised of how many people want this, and I'll say your name if I see your hand. Okay, Sean, Cal, Jean. All right, and I'll say yes. So we got four.
Charisse, can you give me a title of what you're asking for? What exactly?
Cal, yeah, could you restate it for Lori?
Sure. It's the Vistra Community Impact, I guess. What was the one we used for the Castle Farm, Vistra Community?
Community Benefits.
Community Benefits, thank you.
Could we have somebody from the Planning Commission, the Planning Department, give us an update?
Here we go.
I'll work on that. Okay, so I think that's done, right? We got enough. And then does anybody have any other future agenda items they would like to request? Cal, you still got your hand raised, but I don't think you have anything. Not seeing any more future agenda items, and I don't believe we need public comment at this time. So, thank you. And I guess I'll be in the same chair next month. When's our next meeting, Lori?
March 3rd.
March 3rd, exactly. The next third.
All right,
you guys, have a great night.
Hey, thanks.
Appreciate it.
Hey, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.